Tonight, AEW celebrated 3 years of Dynamite. They were back in the city where it all began, Washington, D.C. And I get to ring in my own birthday with all of you at midnight. So it's a night of celebration, or at least it's supposed to be a night of celebration. That celebration was marred. It was marred by yet another backstage incident at the All Elite Daycare Center. Drop your kids off. Pick them up at the end of the day. We have the All Elite Daycare Center. You can enroll your children right now. Registration is open. That's what this company is. This company is one big daycare center. CM Punk was right with what he said in the media scrum in Chicago. He got at least one thing right. This is a company filled with children. Punk was right. We have yet another incident to talk about here tonight. First, we had Sammy Guevara and Eddie Kingston back in August. Eddie Kingston didn't like the fact that Sammy Guevara called him fat. It led to a backstage confrontation. Eddie Kingston got sent home. Then we have the media scrum from hell in Chicago. CM Punk wins the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. And then he sits down with Mindy's muffins in front of him and he unloads on everybody. Scorched earth buries everybody in the fucking company. Or at least the people that matter. Then he gets into a backstage confrontation with the Elite and Kenny Omega. Somebody gets bit. Somebody takes a chair to the eye socket. We haven't even heard the names Punk or Omega or the Bucks mentioned on television since. Every time somebody asks Tony Khan, is there any update on the situation? I can't comment on that. The investigation is ongoing. How long does this fucking investigation take? What are they investigating? Now, tonight, we have a familiar face, Sammy Guevara, once again, involved in a backstage altercation. This time, it was with Andrade El Idolo, who has been tweeting a lot of very cryptic stuff on social media. You get the impression that Andrade really doesn't want to be there anymore. I mean, what other conclusion can you come to? All these cryptic tweets. What are people supposed to think? It's obviously not leading to any kind of an angle because Andrade has no fucking angle. Andrade isn't doing anything on television. Maybe he's trying to make an angle for himself. This situation, by all accounts, is not an angle. They got into a war of words on social media, which I'll get to in a second. And it all boiled over and it led to what happened backstage tonight. This is from TMZ. So you know things have gotten really bad when this shit spills over onto TMZ. Per TMZ, Sammy Guevara and Andrade were just involved in a backstage altercation. Sources tell TMZ Sports. This was right before Dynamite went on the air tonight. And Andrade has been sent home. We are told the incident happened backstage at an AEW Dynamite show in Washington, D.C. Wednesday night. Sources tell us words were exchanged and then things turned physical. Sammy allegedly pushed Andrade and punches were thrown, according to our sources. It is unclear if anyone was hit. Our sources are adamant that the altercation was not part of an AEW storyline. As for the reason for the fight, the guys have been in an intense beef that spilled over on social media. On Tuesday, the wrestlers went back and forth on Twitter. Our sources say several wrestlers are pissed at Sammy for publicly airing personal and private issues, and things just boiled over at the arena. Now, where does this all come from? What is the social media beef that they are referring to here in the TMZ story? And by the way, you know, when it comes to TMZ, you could say whatever you want about TMZ. TMZ is actually one of the more reliable outlets. I mean, they might be garbage most of the time in terms of, you know, some of the stories and stuff they've broken before. Real sleazeball type stuff, but they're usually not wrong. So if TMZ has sources and they're saying that something happened, more likely than not, this is the way that it went down. Where this all stems from, there was an interview that Andrade gave to a publication in Mexico City called Mas Lucha. And he was asked about the whole backstage confrontation at All Out with CM Punk and the Elite. And in the course of answering this question, he made a comment about Sammy Guevara. So let me just read this. We may as well just air this all out right now. He said, I learned about the gossip initially via social media with many headlines saying the guy fought this guy and all that. He's talking about the Punk stuff. Everyone usually stays in the same hotel on Wednesday for Dynamite until the Thursday after. I trained in the gym and then a guy reached out to me and asked if I had heard about the altercation and I was like, what? He didn't know what happened. And anyway, he goes into what he knew and what he didn't know. But then he brings this up. He goes, I did have an issue with a wrestler. Says, I'm going to say his name. It was Sammy Guevara. I had an issue with him because he once came to the locker room and complained that we hit him too hard. He said, it's wrestling. Solve it in the ring. If I hit hard, hit me hard too. I learned that he came in and that he accused me like a little girl. After I learned about it, I spoke to him and asked if he had an issue with me, but he said he did not, and that's all there was to it. It's funny because not even in WWE, for example, Sheamus. Sheamus likes to hit, and all my respect for him because he loves to hit hard and he loves the strikes. He's wild. Even The Miz, and this is the part I laughed at the most. He says, even The Miz likes to throw strikes. When has The Miz ever been known as a striker? Please point me to the match. I would love to see the match on Raw or on SmackDown where The Miz started throwing fucking strikes like he's Randy Couture. I would love to see this. The idea to me that even The Miz loves to throw strikes. And if you stiff him, he'll stiff you back. I love it. It's all bullshit. Anyway, he says, not even John Cena complained about me. So if he did not complain, imagine this kid who is just starting. So Sammy got wind of this. And obviously, you know, if Sammy hears this, he might be a little miffed that Andrade went and kind of snitched on him, that he bitched him out in the back at one time or another. Now, the mature grown-up thing to do, because it wasn't like he put out a bunch of tweets. This was an interview that he did. If he really had an issue with Andrade, the thing to do would be to go talk to him. But instead of doing that, he went on Twitter. And without naming names, Sammy said, you are a jobber, a favor hire, be grateful, bitch. Well, you knew that wasn't going to go unanswered. So Andrade responded and said, I said it to your face if you had a problem with me and you said nothing. I won't beat your ass because I'm a professional. Don't be scared. When I say something, I name names and I'm not scared to get fired. Evidently, he's not afraid to get fired. So Sammy responded and said, you didn't say shit to me. You are a liar, but here's some truth, you ungrateful prick. You would be jobless if it wasn't for your dad-in-law. Are you really mad at me or mad at yourself for failing to get over for a second time? Just go back to WWE like we all know you want to and fuck off. Like I said, the All Elite Daycare Center. And then there was a tweet from Ricky Starks, who's probably one of the few adults in that company, wise beyond his years. But Ricky Starks put a tweet up and then deleted it, basically saying, can my coworkers just shut the fuck up for a minute? And then he thought better of it and he took it down. But you can understand his frustration. And you know that if Ricky Starks feels that way, there's a lot of people in that company who are seeing all of this shit, all of the drama that's been unfolding on social media, and they're thinking the same thing. Shut the fuck up. Enough already. They just keep it to themselves. Even Ricky took down the tweet. So that's where this whole thing came from. And then earlier today, before Dynamite, Tony Khan made the announcement that the match with Andrade and Preston Vance of the Dark Order, which was scheduled for Rampage on Friday, Rampage is going to be live. Remember, it was going to be Andrade putting his career in AEW on the line against number 10 of the Dark Order, who was going to put his mask on the line. Mask against career. And I actually kind of liked it because it was playing into a lot of the rumors and the stories about Andrade possibly not being very happy in AEW and wanting to leave and asking for his release. Did he or didn't he? So it was kind of smart to lean into that. I didn't think he was going to lose. I thought Preston Vance was going to be unmasked. So then Tony Khan announces that the match is off. He doesn't say why. He just says the match is off. And now instead it's going to be the Death Triangle putting their trios titles on the line against the Dark Order. And it's, you know, they're promoting this around the fact that Friday is going to be the 2-year anniversary of Brody Lee's final match, the former leader of the Dark Order. I assume that was the dog collar match with Cody Rhodes. So that was kind of odd that he would make that announcement. And then Andrade went on social media and he posted this image on his Twitter account. Respect me and I'll respect you. I don't know about you guys. I am getting sick to fucking death with all of these fucking cryptic messages, right? We went through this bullshit many times over the last several weeks and all the Malachi Black stuff and everything. And he got very upset because people were saying things about him and his contract and he had to go on Instagram and he went off on everybody. It has been nonstop drama with this company for the last couple of months. What is going on in AEW? What the fuck is going on in this company? I don't remember hearing about any of this shit in the first 2.5 years of this company. If there was anything that happened, it was a rare occurrence. You didn't hear about this stuff in the early days of AEW. Only this year, only in the last several months, have we been hearing about these issues, and has this been spilling over into the public and spilling over onto social media? What has happened in the last year, year and a half? They have brought in more people from the outside. They had their core group of guys at the beginning. Yes, you had people like Chris Jericho and Jon Moxley. You had established names. You had some former WWE names. But you also had a roster that was, you know, largely unproven, homegrown. We're not big stars somewhere else in a place like WWE. And we're being pushed as the faces of this new upstart company, whether it was a Hangman Page. And I know Hangman Page was, you know, a star somewhere else, but, you know, he wasn't a big, big name. Hangman Page, MJF, Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, all these people, Jungle Boy, right? Him and the whole Jurassic Express thing, sprinkled in with some ex-WWE guys. And what has happened is the roster has transformed quite a bit over the last year and a half or so. There are a lot of former WWE talents that have been brought in. There are international talents that have been brought in. The roster has expanded greatly. And it seems like it has had a negative effect on this locker room, where as harmonious as things were before, or at least you had the appearance of things being harmonious, it didn't leak out into the public like this. Now it just seems like a big fucking free-for-all. And Tony Khan is doing nothing to stop it. Tony Khan is the president and CEO of this company. Tony Khan is the leader. He is the face of All Elite Wrestling. It is his company. He evidently doesn't want any help when it comes to the real nuts and bolts of what he does day to day and creative. He still largely runs the show all by himself. Yes, he has people behind the scenes, whether it's a Pat Buck or a Madison Rayne, you know, QT Marshall. Now they have official titles. Tony Schiavone got a big promotion recently. So there are people who are filling certain roles when it comes to talent relations and things of that nature. But this company is Tony Khan. He runs the show. He posts announcements on social media. He has the Busted Open radio spots twice a week. He's the money guy. He's the one making the decisions. He's the one that needs to drop the hammer in situations like this, and he's not doing that. Whatever's going on with Punk and the Elite, still under investigation. We still don't know how that's going to shake out. But now we hear about incidents like this, and it seems as if people... And again, you know, we heard plenty of stories over the years about people walking on eggshells in WWE. And I'm not saying that people should walk around on eggshells in AEW and be fearful of their job and Tony Khan should start yelling at people and acting like a madman, right? There's got to be a happy medium, though. He shouldn't be Vince McMahon and just rule with an iron fist and be a fucking maniac. And have people walking around and be afraid for their jobs and afraid to say the wrong thing. But he also needs to demonstrate that this shit is not going to be tolerated. People are it's like they're sowing their oats here and they feel like, oh, well, you know, I can pretty much do and say whatever I want to. And, you know, maybe they're friendly with Tony and whatever the case is. And I said this a few weeks ago, he has to be more of a boss and less of a friend. I think that's part of what's going on here. I think that is part of the problem. But, you know, I look at this situation and I just say to myself, these two had beef, a very public beef on social media. You knew they were going to be in the same building tonight. How do you let it get to a point where they go for each other and nobody intervenes and says, you guys need to just cool off, stay away from each other, or if you guys want to talk, come into a room with me. Why doesn't Tony go and grab Andrade and grab Sammy? And by all accounts, that's not what happened here. Now, if it is, then we'll get those details. But nothing in the TMZ or the Fightful story said anything about Tony Khan being in the middle of a meeting with them, and they were leaping over Tony to get at each other. So I'm assuming they just found each other, and they came to blows. How is Tony Khan not cutting this off before they even have a chance to let it get to that point? Or why is he not grabbing them and saying, guys, come here, I want to talk to you for a second. And bring him into a room and say, this shit on social media, what is this about? Are you working an angle here? Are you trying to get something going? Because, you know, we have our own creative here. And if not, let's put the shit to bed right here and now. And he's not doing that. You knew that this was a combustible situation, and nobody apparently did anything to stop it. Now it's in the headlines on TMZ. Now an anniversary show that people should be talking about. Instead, they're going to be talking about this shit all week, and it's just another example of just all of this chaos that seems to be going on behind the scenes in this company. Children. Punk was right. He was working with children. He acted like one himself, so he fit right in. But he's not wrong in what he said. And the common denominator in a couple of these examples seems to be Sammy Guevara. You know, even in the TMZ story, it said there's a lot of people in the company who were not happy with Sammy. And yet, when this show is over tonight, who is the man standing tall? The man who not only wrestled in the main event, Andrade got sent home. Sammy did not. Now, if there's more details that we're not privy to, if it was Andrade who instigated things and was smacking him around and Sammy was just trying to defend himself, we'll find out. It won't take very long, I think, for us to find out. But by these initial stories, that's not the case here. Whoever came to talk to the other, they both went at each other. I feel like I'm talking about the media scrum all over again. Who instigated what? Who threw the first punch? You know, Tony's going to have to start shelling out money for hazard pay in this company. I don't think it's safe to work behind the scenes. You never know who's going to come at you, throw a fucking chair at your head, try to pie face you, punch you in the face, smack you upside the head. I mean, you got to show up to these shows in fucking riot gear just to protect yourself. What is going on here? But how this shit even got to this point? I mean, how does this happen? I can't even fathom something like this happening in WWE. They used to mock WWE during the pandemic, sloppy shop, right? Well, here we are now. Who's the sloppy shop now? This is Mickey Mouse bullshit, is what this is. This is amateur hour. And still, there are people who are going to say, oh, it's part of a work. It's part, you know, everything's a work. Wrestling fans are just naturally conditioned to assume that everything is a work. This is not a work. This is an embarrassment, is what this is. And I'll tell you something else. If this was a work, this is one of the worst fucking angles I've ever seen in my life, because all it does is make Tony Khan and his company look pathetic. So I don't know where this is going to go as far as Andrade's future in the company is concerned. I don't know if, you know, part of me assumed before we saw the main event tonight that Tony Khan wanted to give us the main event that he advertised. So that's why Sammy was still there. Sammy would take the losing fall. And then tomorrow, maybe we would find out that Sammy got sent home. Because we've seen WWE do that before, where people have been popped for wellness violations. It happened to Roman Reigns many years ago. And they let the guy wrestle in, let's say, the pay-per-view main event that weekend or Raw that night. And then the next day they announced that they've been sent home, they've been suspended. I thought maybe that was what was going on here. And not only did Sammy wrestle in the main event, he fucking won the match. The show closed tonight with an image of Sammy Guevara hoisted upon the shoulders of the Jericho Appreciation Society, celebrating like he just won the fucking Super Bowl. Tone deaf. I was just beyond amazed by what I saw at the end there. That they would actually put Sammy over and have him win in the main event. Tony Khan, maybe he thinks it's good heat. It's not good heat. It's pathetic. It's really sad. And I'm stunned that is how they decided to close out the show tonight. We can talk about Andrade. We can talk about Sammy Guevara. We could talk about who started what. And I said this the other day, Tony Khan needs to hire a social media manager for social media training to train members of his roster so they know how to conduct themselves on social media, because clearly many of them do not know how to conduct themselves. And that's what I thought a couple of days ago. Tony Khan needs to invest in social media training. Well, I have to refine that now, because it's not a matter of blaming Sammy Guevara. It's not a matter of just blaming Andrade. The buck stops with one person, and that's Tony Khan. All of this goes back to Tony Khan. Tony Khan allowed this to happen. He created the environment that allowed this to happen. Nobody else can clamp down on this and do something about this except Tony Khan. Now, if he wants to hire somebody else to come in and help kind of be his enforcer, Vince McMahon has had a hatchet man for years. He used to be Jim Ross, and then it was John Laurinaitis, right? So they can play the bad guy. They can lay down the law. Does he need somebody like that? Maybe he does need help. Maybe he's stretched thin. But whether or not he has somebody helping him or not as his muscles, so to speak, it comes down to Tony Khan. He is the boss. He is the leader of this company. He is the one that has to make people understand that this shit will not be tolerated. And maybe it's a matter of gathering everybody up and saying, look, we've already had a couple of these meetings. We're not going to keep having these meetings. How many meetings can we have? We're going to have meetings every week. Gather the troops, send an email, whatever it is, and let people know that backstage fighting, backstage altercations will not be tolerated. We have a zero tolerance policy for this in this company. This is not the kind of work environment that we want to create where you never know. You got to have eyes in the back of your head because you never know who might be coming for you. Oh, this guy hit me too hard in the match the other day. Here, let me pop him in the mouth. And then I'll go on social media and I'll tweet about it. But then I'll delete the tweet. How many times are we going to go through this? This is pathetic. He needs to lay down the law and let people know zero tolerance. If this shit happens again, you're gone. That's it. How Sammy Guevara was allowed to go out there, I'll never know. This cannot happen again. If it happens again, you're gone, regardless of who you are. Whether it's just a clean cut, whether it's we're going to sit you at home and you're not going to be on television, you're going to sit out the rest of your contract, whatever the punishment may be. This shit cannot go on. Whatever was happening early on in the early years of the company, Tony Khan has to find a way to get back to that. Because this stuff was not happening in the early days of this company. Something has changed in the last several months. Where now, it's like fucking Battle Royale, like that movie. It's a free-for-all. It's like anything goes. I mean, it really is. You know what? It reminds me of, you know, you have those classes where your teacher would be out. You have the substitute teacher, and now everybody goes nuts because, shit, it's a substitute teacher, right? Who gives a shit? So the kids are going nuts, and the sub is just kind of sitting there not doing anything about it. Tony Khan cannot sit there and be a substitute teacher. He needs to do something about this. But this is your AEW Dynamite review for October 5th, 2022. You know, there was an actual wrestling show tonight. You would never know it because of all this nonsense. This is all anybody's going to be talking about all week long. But there was a wrestling show tonight, and I thought it was actually a pretty good show on the whole. But we have to talk about backstage bullshit first. It was also an AEW anniversary show, but if you watched the show, you would think that it was a Ring of Honor anniversary show. The whole first hour of the show was basically Ring of Honor. It was like an audition tape for a Ring of Honor television show. And the show ended with the Ring of Honor World Champion on one side of the ring and the Ring of Honor Pure Champion on the other, previewing a Ring of Honor World Championship match in the main event of Dynamite next week. So AEW has turned into Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor, by the way, a product, a show that has never been on a major cable network in its entire existence and has probably never had a television audience of more than maybe a couple of 100,000 people. I might be generous with that. That's what AEW has now morphed into. It's morphed into Ring of Honor. Hit that subscribe button. Super chats are open. And 500 likes is the goal for Be the Booker tonight. We hit 500 likes, we'll do a special birthday edition of Be the Booker. I do want to thank you all for spending your time with me here tonight. We are going to be ringing in a new day here in about an hour. So it'll be very cool to be hanging out with you guys here as I start my birthday. So thank you all for the early birthday wishes. I wish we could have opened the stream in a happier mood tonight, but we have more childish bullshit to talk about. There was one bit of good news. If you watched the main event last week on Dynamite with Bandito and Chris Jericho, which was a very good match, I said they should definitely
Well, there's some of that. Well, there's some of that birthday love from you guys. JM, thank you very much for the $200 super chat bomb. $200 super chat from our boy JM, who has been a loyal follower here on the channel now all year long. And JM, thank you very, very much. I'm going to be reading your super chat with all of the others a little bit later on. But what I was going to say is that Bandido has signed with AEW. He might want to rethink that after tonight. He might be having second thoughts. He might say, I don't know if this is a safe decision on my part. It might be safer for me to go call back Triple H. Because apparently WWE was trying to contact Bandido or reach out to him or get his contact information before his match with Chris Jericho last week was even finished. WWE was expressing interest in Bandido. But he has come to terms with and apparently signed a contract already, so I guess it's a done deal. We'll be seeing Bandido in AEW for a couple of weeks, and then he'll disappear like everybody else. Tonight's show opened with MJF taking on Wheeler Yuta. And before tonight, they mentioned that it had been 129 days since the last time that we saw MJF in a ring. So William Regal was on commentary. He said that over the course of his career, even though he has been a villain, he never would put his hands on somebody who was not a competitor. He would never put his hands on somebody the way that MJF put his hands on Tony Schiavone a couple of weeks ago on those Grand Slam shows. So Yuta was using his speed early on. He was frustrating MJF. During the commercial, MJF was picking apart Yuta until Yuta made a comeback. Both men were trading rolling pin attempts back and forth, all these, you know, one pinfall attempt after another after another. I mean, this was as long of a sequence like this as I've ever seen. I thought it was too long. And that ended up with them trading tombstone pile driver reversals before a double clothesline spot. They got a standing ovation from the crowd. Yuta went up top. He got crotched by MJF. Tried for an avalanche tombstone. Yuta, though, escaped. Ended up hitting a super rana off the top rope. MJF rolled outside. He was wiped out by a tope. Back inside, MJF rolled away from Yuta. Thought he rolled far enough away where he can flip him off. But Yuta ended up launching himself halfway across the ring. And he connected with a splash. Only got two. Laid in the hammer and anvil elbows. He went for the seatbelt. MJF countered into the salt of the earth armbar. Yuta tried to get to the ropes. MJF repositioned. He wrenched back on the arm, and that was all she wrote. Yuta had no choice but to tap out. After the match, Yuta went for a handshake. He went to shake MJF's hand out of respect and told MJF to be a man. And MJF was considering it. He looked conflicted. He was putting his hand out like he was going to shake the man's hand. All of a sudden, Lee Moriarty, part of the firm, right, the guns for hire for MJF, led by Stokely Hathaway. Lee Moriarty attacked Yuta from behind, and MJF was furious, and he told him, I didn't tell you to do that. Stokely showed up. He was telling Stokely, what are you doing? I didn't tell you to do that. Stokely handed him the Dynamite Diamond Ring, and he was going to go KO Yuta with it. Regal, though, stepped up from the announce desk, and he pulled out a pair of brass knucks. Remember William Regal and the Power of the Punch in WWE 20 years ago. And so he put the knucks on. He got into the ring. And after a stare down, MJF retreated. And Regal was basically shooting laser beams out of his eyes at this kid. I thought this was a really good opener. I know some people are going to have a problem with them giving Yuta as much offense here as they did. It didn't bother me. They've been trying to, you know, put him over and get him over strong in recent weeks. And it's been so long since we've seen MJF in a long competitive match. I thought this was good. Interesting twist with him acting conflicted. Was it all bullshit? Or was he acting conflicted because, as he said in his promo a couple of weeks ago, he and Yuta, you know, have history, you know, going back to the independent scene. So that's kind of interesting, I guess, to see where that may or may not go. Probably not going to go anywhere. But we should be getting more from Regal and MJF heading into full gear. That's my hope, anyway. That's my hope. We'll get more between Regal and MJF leading into the inevitable match with Jon Moxley, which I'm sure will be at full gear. So I thought this was good. This was good stuff. One thing I forgot to mention And I was going to bring this up earlier, but I got sidetracked by all the Sammy and Andrade nonsense. I just want to mention it real quick here. Earlier today, we had our watch-along for the 97 Hell in a Cell match from Bad Blood. Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, Kane's debut. It was a lot of fun to go back and watch that match because it's been years since I've seen it. And it really is fucking great. So anyway, if you want to go back, it is in the archives with the timestamp and everything. If you want to follow along, we had all of our channel members in the chat. So all of you who could join me on your lunch break, it was fun hanging out with you guys earlier. So go ahead and check that out. That is open for everybody. We got a video package highlighting tonight's showdown between Bryan Danielson and Daniel Garcia taking on Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. We went backstage to the Jericho Appreciation Society saying that Garcia is their family, but he has lost his way. And Jericho called him a rebellious child. There's that word again. That was a shoot by Jericho. There are a lot of rebellious children who work for this company. None bigger than the man standing next to him in this segment. Makes me wonder if maybe he's being protected by Jericho. Maybe that's why Sammy Guevara was wrestling in the main event tonight and was not sent home like Andrade was. But he said that Garcia was like a rebellious child. Sammy spoke, didn't say much. He had a message for Garcia. He said that they would end him. And the one line that he had got him major heat. Clearly, this crowd in this building, and it was not a big crowd, it had maybe 3,000 people in the building, or a little more than that. And it was a big crowd for that building. It wasn't that the building was half empty. It was just they were running a very small building tonight. But the people in this building knew. They have smartphones. They knew. You could tell based on not only their reaction to him here, but in the main event as well. So he got a lot of heat here. And Jericho said that tonight would be a taste of how he would desecrate the memory of Ring of Honor, and he would leave Toronto next week still the Ring of Jericho world champion. We got Darby Allin one-on-one with Jay Lethal, who left Sanjay Dutt and Satnam Singh in the back. So this was just one-on-one. Lethal was focusing on the left knee with kicks. Darby could not put any weight on the knee. And at one point, he crumpled to the mat. Darby, the story here is that Darby would start to build a little bit of a comeback. He would start to build some momentum, and then Lethal would just cut him off. He pulled Darby off the top rope with a dragon screw, locked in the figure four, and Darby clawed his way to the ropes. Lethal went for a lethal injection. Darby ducked it, and Lethal, in doing his flip over for the lethal injection, looked like he caught his foot on Darby's back, and Lethal landed right on his head. Darby followed up with a code red for a near fall. Now here comes Sanjay Dutt and Satnam Singh, and they walk out onto the stage. Lethal looks over and tells them he didn't need them. Both men traded a series of pin attempts until Darby got the Last Supper, pinfall bridge, and he got the win. After the match, Darby, he tried to tell Lethal, you don't need those guys. And he pushed him, and then he put his hand out. So the second match in a row where we were going for the Code of Honor. And Lethal thought about it, and he kind of struggled with the decision, and then finally he shook his hand. Satnam Singh and Sanjay Dutt couldn't believe it. Lethal left the ring. He stormed right by them, and he went to the back. So I thought this was a solid match here. Solid stuff from these two. You know, I was wondering if they might turn Lethal babyface after the promo that Jericho cut last week about how he's going to wipe out every former Ring of Honor world champion. Jay Lethal is a former Ring of Honor world champion, but he's been a heel. This answered the question. I mean, this right here... looks to me like they are going to be pushing him in a babyface direction, and then maybe we will get Jericho and Jay Lethal at some point. So for the first time in a year, we had a rare sighting on this show. You know, they talk about things like the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot and how rare it is, right? You hear about stories about them and stuff and how rare it is to find sightings of them. Even rarer than the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot has been trying to find Brian Cage on AEW television now. He has not been on AEW television. It's been about a year. He's been doing some Ring of Honor stuff, but even in Ring of Honor, he hasn't been doing much. There really is no Ring of Honor. The Ring of Honor's had a few pay-per-views. That's it. Otherwise, there is no Ring of Honor. There is no television show. There is no dedicated Ring of Honor show. So Brian Cage has just been kind of hanging around with not much to do. Brian Cage was as surprised as anybody when he found out that Tony Khan was exercising the option on his contract and extending him for another year. I think it was a year. I think. Which is interesting, because if it was a year, then he probably doesn't have that much longer left on his deal. But he was shocked. He thought Tony Khan was just going to let him go, and he was going to be able to go and continue his career somewhere else. And why wouldn't he think that? He was as in the dark as anybody about why Tony wasn't doing anything with him. So why would Tony roll him over and extend him if he wasn't planning on doing anything with him? It never really made any sense. So now we got a rare appearance here from Brian Cage on this show. Coming into this match as a member of Prince Nana's embassy faction for a match with Wardlow for the TNT Championship. Two men that have been victims of questionable booking decisions. Brian Cage, in the form of not being booked at all, and Wardlow having been cooled off greatly since Double or Nothing. And he still goes out there and he gets good reactions from the crowd. I'm not saying that he's, you know, going out there to crickets, but he has been cooled down since Double or Nothing. This is irrefutable. The Wardlow push that we were seeing in May leading into the match with MJF, and the Wardlow that we see now when we do get to see him on TV, in terms of how they're being pushed and how often we're seeing them on TV, it's like night and day. I'd say the same thing about FTR. They've cooled down Brian Cage. We rarely have been seeing FTR recently on television. Samoa Joe, I know, was missing for a while because he was filming a role for a TV show, but he's been back now for several weeks. But both men here, questionable booking for a while now. And I said this on the podcast on Sunday. I said, if you gave Wardlow the same kind of push that so for example, Wardlow has the Goldberg entrance. They film him walking through the back. You hear the crowd, right? Wardlow. It's like, it's the Goldberg entrance, right? They've given him the Goldberg entrance. Now imagine if Eric Bischoff, after Goldberg, had won the U.S. title from Raven on Nitro. If he had booked Goldberg the way that Tony Khan has booked Wardlow in the last few months, we never would have gotten Goldberg and Hogan in the Georgia Dome. It never would have happened. So thank God he wasn't booking that. Ever since Wardlow won the TNT title. Just imagine if the booking were the same, we would have missed out on one of the biggest matches of all time. So both men here went in there. I'm sure they had a chip on their shoulder. I'm sure they knew, okay, we got to go out there tonight and we got to fucking blow this thing up. Because we don't get, especially if you're Brian Cage, right? We don't get very many opportunities to do this. So let's go out there and show what we can do. And that's what they did. They went out there and I thought they impressed. I thought they showed exactly what they're capable of. They were showing off their agility early on. Wardlow hit a standing Hurricanrana. Cage responded with a head scissors, which sent Wardlow into the ropes. He tried for a 619. Wardlow, though, caught him, gave him a world's strongest slam, and Cage responded with a spine buster. We went to picture in picture. Cage dominated through the commercial break. When they came back, Cage went to Irish whip Wardlow into the opposite corner. And we got a step up whisper in the wind by Wardlow, of all things. A step-up whisper in the wind where he actually overshot Brian Cage. So much momentum as he came off the top. He just about overshot Brian Cage. That's how much distance he got on that move. I was thinking to myself, where did that come from? So he followed that up with a series of German suplexes. Wardlow went back up top. Cage cut him off and knocked him down on the apron. Right. So now Wardlow is on the apron. Cage stands on the middle rope. Reaches over, grabs Wardlow, gives him a vertical suplex from the middle rope back into the ring. Cage set up for the drill claw. Wardlow avoided it, hit a spine buster. Brian Cage came back, hit an F5 for a close near fall. And then he set up for a powerbomb. Wardlow, though, avoided it, hit a couple of headbutts, big wind-up clothesline. Then he dropped the straps. That's how you know he means business. The straps came down. Wardlow hit powerbomb number one, called out to the crowd, delivered powerbomb number two, played to the crowd again, picked up Cage for a third one, then hit a fourth one, and finally he got the pin. After the match, the Gates of Agony attacked. They're also part of the Embassy faction. They beat down Wardlow. Samoa Joe ran out for the save. Of course, he is the Ring of Honor television champion. The numbers, though, were too much. They were still too much for Wardlow and Joe. Or I guess, what are they calling them? Are they calling them Ward Joe? Is that the name they've given them? Ward Joe? A terrible name. FTR's music hit. They got a monster pop coming out. Huge reaction for FTR, who have some of the best entrance music in the company. They came out. They were in no great rush to get to the ring. Now, they had the elevated ramp for the show tonight in this building, and it was a very short ramp. It was a very short distance from the stage to the ring, but they took their time. They were not running to the ring. They walked at a normal pace. They were in no rush to get into the ring. So they got inside, had a stare down with the Gates of Agony on the apron. The heels bailed. I thought that tonight these two men showed Tony Khan why he needs to wake up and do a better job of featuring them. Wardlow needs to be on this show every week. Brian Cage needs to be on the show more often than he is, even though he's a Ring of Honor guy. Half the fucking shows are filled with Ring of Honor guys. So why not put Brian Cage on there and give him something to do? Why not the Gates of Agony, too? I don't know. It's weird how they're very selective in terms of the Ring of Honor talents that they choose to feature. These guys are part of a faction on the Ring of Honor brand. Used to be Tully Blanchard Enterprises. Now it's the Embassy with Prince Nana, but we never see them. So I thought these two went out and they had what I thought was a fun battle of the bulls, and they showcased exactly what they could do. But when this first hour was over, I said before, this first hour of the show felt like an audition for a Ring of Honor show. It was basically all, like, every match had Ring of Honor talent or Ring of Honor influence in some way. So, very noticeable. And Dax Harwood, just the other night at the New Japan show, Royal Quest, got on the microphone and he shouted out his boss and he said, "Hey, Tony Khan, you know, we still work for you." He said, "Book us, brother. We still work for you." We come back to Britt Baker in the back, and Britt says that she feels morally obligated to answer the question that Saraya will not be wrestling in AEW. Says the doctors have not cleared her, and she says that just makes this still my house. And that led into a women's trios match with Toni Storm, Athena, and Willow Nightingale, with Saraya in their corner taking on Penelope Ford, Serena Deeb, and Jamie Hayter, who walked out to huge reaction and people chanting her name. They had Britt Baker in their corner. Storm and Deeb, they continued their from their battle last week. Storm hit Sweet Cheek Music, is I guess what she calls it, in the corner, the hip attack. She got distracted, though, long enough for Serena to chop block the leg, took control heading into the break. While Storm was trapped in a leg lock, Jamie Hayter and Serena Deeb, they hit double suplexes on Athena and Willow, who were trying to make the save. Storm made the hot tag to Willow, who ran wild. Serena cut off Willow, choked her in the ropes. Rebel pulled a crutch out from under the ring, and she was going to hit Willow with it. Saraya grabbed it away from her, and Ford tried for a handspring. Willow drop-kicked her in the middle of it, like mid-move. She drop-kicked her, hit a doctor bomb, and she got the win for her team. When the match was over, Britt Baker got in the ring and she had a face-off right in the middle of the ring with Saraya. They came nose-to-nose in the middle. That led to a slugfest. There was a shove, and then they just started throwing punches. Everybody was throwing punches. It looked like the AEW locker room here in the middle of this ring. So everybody is throwing punches. Saraya throws Britt out of the ring. Rebel was left inside all by herself. And Rebel was on her knees, and she was trying to beg off. And Saraya delivered a super kick. Yes, it was a very weak-looking super kick, but that's the first bit of physicality that we have seen from Paige in years. Tonight was the first night where she actually got physical. Even up to this point, the first couple of weeks in the company, it was just promos. She didn't touch anybody else. Nobody touched her. Tonight, that changed. She was slugging it out in the middle of the ring with Britt. She delivered a super kick. She was in the middle of all this chaos at the end of the match. So between that and the fact that they had Britt Baker, the ultimate heel, be the one to deliver the news backstage that she is not cleared to wrestle, she will not be wrestling in this company. I mean, just after that promo, I thought, okay, well, there's your answer. Saraya is going to wrestle. And I figured she would be at some point. But Saraya is going to wrestle. Maybe she still is not cleared, but I have every belief that we are going to see Saraya in a match with Britt Baker in the not-too-distant future. And the fact that she got physical tonight tells me that I think we're a lot closer than not to seeing that match. And really, the only way for her to make any kind of real impact is to get her involved in a program with somebody like a Britt Baker and get her back in the ring. She's only been back, you know, on television for a few weeks, and even now she just feels like another face in the crowd. And you knew that would happen, you know, her first night in, big reaction, right? She's been off television for so long, so she gets the great respectful reaction. People are so happy to see her. And she comes out now, you know, to manage some of these ladies. And I just think back to her promo about how this is going to, you know, we're going to change the division and, you know, I'm here to change how things are. It's not going to happen. Change can only come from the person who is booking the show. And he's got a lot on his plate as it is right now. I don't get the sense the women's division is exactly priority number one for Tony Khan. The women's division should not be priority number one for Tony Khan. Tony Khan has other things that are more important for him to tend to right now before they get worse. Then he can worry about the women's division. But these ladies went out there and this was great. Willow continues to impress me every time I see her. So I thought that this was actually a very good trios match. Backstage, Tony Schiavone was with Rush, Jose the assistant, and Private Party. Andrade, I guess, was on his way home. Jose showed us video evidence of Private Party not being there for them recently. And Jose and Rush said that they will either be there for us tonight in Rush's match with Hangman Page, or they're going to take them to court because they know that Matt Hardy has been contract tampering. Welcome, by the way, to all the people late to the stream. I did address the breaking news of the night. I did address that at the beginning of the stream. If you missed it, I'll probably come back around to that in a little bit. But yes, we let off with that tonight. Unfortunately, cast a shadow over what I thought on the whole was actually a pretty enjoyable episode of Dynamite tonight. But that is not what people are going to be talking about. They're not going to be talking about National Scissoring Day, which was our next segment. We had the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn, who were super over here in DC. They had a podium set up in the ring. Bowens welcomed everyone to National Scissoring Day. He explained that scissoring is a handshake, and it is a sign of friendship. He said that people want the tag team titles represented by a real team, not a couple of guys thrown together like Keith Lee and Sneaky Swerve. And he said that Sneaky Swerve wants you to believe that they should be the tag team champions and that they are the most popular team in AEW, but everybody knows that's not the case because the most popular team is the Acclaimed. So Billy Gunn, it was his turn to talk. Billy Gunn interjected here to say that this is Daddy Ass's house. Sometimes the most ridiculous things are the things that get over, right? Why do you think Danhausen is so over? Billy Gunn will not be part of the latest Degeneration X reunion. I believe this is reunion number 37 that we are getting on Raw in Brooklyn this Monday. He will not be there for obvious reasons, but he doesn't have to be because he's big time over on his own right now. Billy Gunn he's doing just fine in the position that he's in right now in AEW. He doesn't have to be with all the other DX members as DX member number four in the background, when he's got a good thing going here right now with, as Bowen said, the most popular team in the entire company. That's a shoot. They come out and they get a superstar reaction. And it's cool to see because they are a homegrown team. Nobody else made them. They didn't make their name somewhere else. The Acclaimed are a success story in this company. This is what this company was built on in the early years. And it does feel a little bit like they've gotten away from that in the last, again, 12 to 18 months. maybe it's not a coincidence that that also coincides with a lot of this unrest that has spilled over into the public eye. Because as I said before, you didn't hear about stuff like that happening in the early days. But The Acclaimed is, again, one of Tony Khan's success stories. Maybe he lucked into it, but he at least had the common sense to see that what was working and say, okay, we're going to pursue this, and we're going to put the titles on these guys in New York at Grand Slam. Right? He recognized that it was over, and he went with it. So Billy said that he went down to City Hall today, and he was asked to present The Acclaimed with a gift. And under the podium, he pulled out a giant pair of golden scissors. And it was gift wrapped. Bowens unwrapped it, and then he ran around the ring with the giant scissors before Billy told him, "Don't run with scissors." Caster spoke, and he told the crowd to turn to the person to your left and turn to the person to your right and make an offer of peace through scissoring. And they cut to the crowd, and everybody was scissoring each other. And I said, man, I'm glad I'm not in that crowd tonight. He said that he wanted to talk about greatness. He said 40 years ago in DC, greatness was achieved when Washington won the Super Bowl. And he wasn't even born when that happened. And it means a lot to him because his dad was on that championship team. He said that his father still wears his Super Bowl ring proudly, just like he wears his AEW tag team title belt. And by the way, it is true. His father was Rich Caster, and he did win a Super Bowl. Not only did he win a Super Bowl, he was a three-time Pro Bowler. I knew nothing about this before tonight. I learned this tonight like I'm sure many other people did. So Caster called for everybody to put up their scissors, said that DC might represent the partisan division in the U.S., but everybody loves The Acclaimed. And he said, tonight, there is no right, there is no left, there is no red, there is no blue. He said, tonight, The Acclaimed are wearing pink, and everybody looks good in pink. Damn straight. That's right. Swerve interrupted them before they could all scissor each other. Swerve comes out, he gets a ton of heat. Swerve is so good. Just his mere presence when he walks out, and they get that close-up of his face, and he's got like that sneer. He's looking at these three in the ring. He's got this disgusted look on his face. He's so good in the heel role. And he comes out, and he says, this is the most idiotic thing I've ever seen. He said the title should be on Billy's shoulders. Both of those tag team belts should be on the shoulders of Billy Gunn, because were it not for Billy, you two would not be the tag team champions right now. And he challenged Billy to a match next week on Dynamite in Toronto. Here comes Smart Mark Sterling out from the other tunnel. And Smart Mark walks out. He offered to represent The Acclaimed in their dispute with Swerve. Swerve in Our Glory. Because remember, the storyline with him is that he's been trying to convince anybody who would listen. He's got this petition, Swerve is not to be trusted, sign the contract or sign the petition so we could get rid of Swerve. We can get him out of AEW. He was doing this before Swerve started acting heelish, and now Swerve is a full-on heel. And look, the Mark Sterling stuff is a waste. I like at least that they finished out the story by having him come back out and acknowledge, see, I was right. What did I tell you people? This guy is not to be trusted. I like that they put a little bow on it there at the end, but the whole storyline was a waste of time. So The Acclaimed ended up putting down Sterling. They held his legs open while Bowens came off the middle rope with a leg drop to his crotch. Billy then told Swerve, I accept your match next week in Toronto. And then they all scissored each other to close out the segment. Obviously the scissoring stuff is very dumb, but so was the crotch chopping that DX did. And that got over many years ago. And this is very over. The Acclaimed is over. One of the most over acts in the entire company. Billy is over. I thought this segment was a lot of fun. At least that makes one segment this week with a podium in the ring that was fun. We had two segments on television this week with podiums. The other one, I don't know what the fuck that was supposed to be on NXT this week with Pretty Deadly to open the show. That was very dumb, is what that was. So at least we had a segment here that was at least somewhat fun. We had Hangman Page, who was going to be challenging Jon Moxley in Cincinnati next week for the AEW World Championship. Or it's 2 weeks, actually. Next week is the Jericho match. So in 2 weeks, on that Tuesday Dynamite on the 18th, that's what it is. It's going to be Hangman challenging Jon Moxley for the title. He took on Roosh tonight. Both men traded strikes. Hangman went out to the apron. There was a very awkward spot here. Roosh, he did the Tranquilo pose. Jose, the assistant, looked like he was late to grab Hangman's foot. And so it looked like Hangman was kind of frozen, waiting for Roosh to punch him. Action spilled outside the ring. Roosh choked Hangman with a camera cable, sent him into the barricade. We went to commercial. Hangman fought back to his feet. He caught Roosh coming off the ropes for a crossbody, tossed him with a fallaway slam. They cut to the back and showed MJF clutching his poker chip as he was watching this on a monitor. Roosh rolled to the apron. Hangman hit a springboard punch, splashed Roosh on the outside, and he landed a Death Valley driver back in the ring for a close near fall. So we fast forward to the finish here. Hangman was setting up for a buckshot lariat. Jose grabbed his foot yet again. Hangman made an attempt for the buckshot, but Roosh hit a headbutt and then a straightjacket pile driver for a near fall. Tucked his head right at the last second. It was done very safely. He set up for the bull's horns, but Hangman popped up and hit a lariat, and then he followed that with a buckshot lariat. I guess back-to-back lariats. I guess the buckshot's more powerful, though. It's the more powerful lariat. So after the match, now here comes Private Party. Here comes Mark Quinn. Here comes Isaiah Cassidy. Walked to the ring. They had Hangman surrounded. When Jon Moxley, a wild Jon Moxley, suddenly appears, he comes through the crowd. And he basically nods at Private Party and says, whatever you were thinking was going to happen here is not going to happen. And Private Party slowly backed away and we didn't see them again. Mox grabbed the microphone. This is where he has been at his best in recent weeks. And again, when we hear about incidents like the one backstage that we heard about tonight, we're reading about this stuff on TMZ and in the dirt sheets and everything, it makes me appreciate somebody like Jon Moxley that much more. He is a consistent force in this company behind the scenes. When I say that he is the ace of this company, the way that people talk about Tanahashi is the ace of New Japan, that is what Jon Moxley is to this company. He is a leader. He is someone who leads by example. He is not somebody that you hear about being involved in social media nonsense because Jon Moxley is not on social media. Jon Moxley recognizes that social media is stupid and toxic and he wants nothing to do with it. I remember the only reason he even started a Twitter when he was in the Shield is because they said they forced him to. And that Twitter sat there. I don't think he had a single fucking tweet on there. Maybe one for like years. Like he wanted nothing to do with it. So he's not involved in any of that stuff. And yeah, you just, again, you don't hear about situations with him where he is going to embarrass the company. It's one of the things that this company needs more of. They need more stable forces like him. He's someone who leads by example. So he took the microphone and he said that he's been waiting for this for 3 years. He said that he'd been watching and studying Hangman and they were circling each other for 3 years. He said they've beaten everybody there is to beat in AEW except one another. And he said that on October 18th in his hometown, his home arena in Cincinnati, where he used to smoke and drink under the bridge outside, there would be only one man left standing. And he said that he would cave his face in and choke him until he turned blue because he was in the way of him being the AEW world champion and the best in the world. And Moxley said that he respects him as a man, but when that bell rings, he doesn't have any respect for anyone. Hangman grabbed the microphone and said, you know, if you've been waiting for so long, then what about now? And Moxley kind of thought about it. You know, he was thinking it over. He said, he called Paige. He goes, you're a sweet kid. He said, but like a lot of kids around this place, you say stuff that ends up getting you into trouble. He says, I'm going to let you off the hook this one time. He says, you got 13 days, so watch your mouth. I thought this was a very effective promo for Moxley, as most of his promos have been. I love the line about the kids running their mouth and getting themselves into trouble. You know, again, he's got to be annoyed by all of this drama. Here's a guy who shows up to work, shouldn't even be working right now. Again, he's supposed to be on a vacation. But shit goes sideways. John Moxley gets called upon by Tony Khan. They put the belt back on him. He's the face of the company yet again. And he goes out there on the microphone every single week, and he knocks it out of the park. And he did that again tonight, but I can only imagine how annoyed he must be when he sees all of this drama unfolding. He's going out there and trying to represent this company in the best possible way that he can. And then when this kind of stuff happens, you know, to be plagued by all of this juvenile bullshit has just got to be extremely frustrating for him. It was this kind of juvenile bullshit that affected him in the first place, to where he now is, you know, he's going to be wrestling at least until Full Gear. That's even if he drops the championship at that point, which I'm expecting that he will. But this is a company that really, yeah, they shouldn't need to rely on someone like Moxley the way that they do, but they're very, very lucky to have someone like him on that roster. And frankly, it wouldn't hurt to have Tony Khan go to Moxley and say, look, maybe you could help me out here. Maybe I need you to talk to these people. Talk to the roster, which apparently Moxley has already done. There was at least one talent meeting backstage in the last few weeks where you had Moxley and I think Danielson and Jericho. And apparently, with some people, it goes in one ear and out the other. That's why I keep saying it goes back to Tony Khan. It's not John Moxley's responsibility to tell the people on the roster how to behave themselves. It's not his responsibility. It's not Chris Jericho's responsibility. It's not William Regal's responsibility. It's not Tony Schiavone's responsibility or Jim Ross or any of these people who could say something. It's not their job. There's one person whose job that is. They're very lucky to have somebody like Moxley, though. In the back, Willow Nightingale was very happy about her win tonight. And at Battle of the Belt, she says she wants a TBS title match. So on cue, here come the baddies and Jade Cargill. I guess they just so happened to be standing 5 feet away and they overheard this. And so they were, you know, very bothered by this. They turned around and now here they are. Jade brings up the fact that she's beaten Willow in the past already. And Willow says, well, can't beat me a third time. You beat me once, you beat me twice, try to beat me a third time. That's not the way this is supposed to work. But apparently Tony Khan has just thrown away the rankings. He did an interview. I don't know if it was with comicbook.com. I think it might have been with comicbook.com. And they asked him about the rankings. I don't think the rankings have been updated since the end of August. Somebody pop over right now onto the AEW site and let me know. But I don't think they've been updating the rankings in recent... I mean, how could they? Look at the championship situation in this company and the way that it's been blown up. I would have given up on doing the rankings too. I would have thrown my hands in the air and said the hell with this. So I'm not even sure if there is going to be a ranking system anymore. I mean, the way that the ranking system has been treated, it's almost like, why even bother? So Luchasaurus was out next with Christian Cage, and he killed Fuego del Sol in 30 seconds. May he rest in peace. The Dinosaur was about to kill Fuego again after the match. Christian was calling the plays. He was telling him what to do. Jungle Boy ran down with a chair, hit him with it. He told Luchasaurus, you were my best friend, and you chose him. After everything we've been through, you chose him over me. And you broke my heart, and everybody went, aw. Aw. He broke his heart. But now I'm going to break your fingers, I'm going to break your nose, I'm going to break your arm, I'm going to break you piece by piece. You pick the time and the place, and I'll be ready. Well, they should do it in the back. Apparently that place gets as much action as the NXT parking lot. The NXT parking lot is still the most dangerous place in all of professional wrestling. Do you know what the second most dangerous place in all of professional wrestling is? The AEW locker room. Maybe they should have a backstage brawl. Christian told Jungle Boy, you said we picked the time and place. He goes, we're in our nation's capital tonight, Washington, D.C. So he was kind of teasing that maybe we would do this tonight, but then he turned heel on D.C. He insulted Washington. And he said, instead, the time would be next week on Dynamite in my hometown of Toronto, Canada. So we're going to get Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus next week. The main event of this show was Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara taking on Bryan Danielson and Daniel Garcia. Second week in a row that Jericho was in the main event. Next week in Toronto is undoubtedly going to be week number three with Jericho in the main event. So we had, right from the start here, we had a chance of fuck you, Sammy, from the crowd. Sammy wasn't even in the match yet. It was Jericho and Garcia starting out. Already he's getting a chance of fuck you, Sammy. There was also a great sign in the crowd that said Sammy, Sammy Dramara. Sammy Dramara. Again, these people know. These people are not stupid. They know exactly what's going on. They're on their phones. The AEW audience may not be as casual as the WWE audience. They know full well what's going on here. So Garcia started out for his team. Jericho offered him a handshake. Garcia accepted, again, with the code of honor. This is the Ring of Honor anniversary show tonight. Garcia took him down, spun him onto his back. Jericho got up and chopped him. Sammy tripped up Daniel from the floor, came into the match, tons of boos, and he landed some strikes. Danielson was able to tag into the match. There was another sign that a fan held up in the crowd saying, hire an HR expert. Again, I want somebody else. I want another one of these fucking dolts on Twitter to tweet me after what I said the other day, that Tony Khan should hire a social media manager. And I got so many tweets, and I always check the person's bio because I'm always so curious. I check the avatar, and I check their bio. Because some people, if you say anything, any crosswords about AEW, they get very offended by this. And almost to a T, when I check their bios, there's some reference in their bio to, you know, AEW fan, you know, I love AEW, or their fucking picture is, you know, it's a picture of, like, you know, Pac or something like that. And then I kind of know what I'm up against here, and I don't take it seriously. But I heard from so many idiots after I posted what I said the other day, which I thought was a pretty inoffensive thing to say, and not untrue, by the way. Hearing from people that said, oh, you're soft. Oh, I can only imagine if Twitter existed 25 years ago and 30 years ago, back in the day, what you would say. Well, moron, Twitter did not exist 25 or 30 years ago. We're not talking about 30 years ago. We're talking about now. We're talking about 2022. I had people saying, oh, it's all an angle. They're trying to start an angle. I like it. What's the big deal? Save that energy, same energy for WWE, the whataboutism, you know, with WWE. I mean, they were grasping at so many straws, it was unbelievable. But this is what I'm talking about. When I say that, Tony Khan needs to nip this in the bud. This is not an angle. It's not, oh, this is good for business. It's not good for business because you end up with stuff like this. And we can laugh at this, that people are holding up signs like this. But you're watching the show and there are people in the crowd holding up signs that say, hire an HR expert. It's really not funny. It's sad. This is why this stuff has to be stopped. Because everybody is now mocking AEW for this. They've turned into a punchline. They've turned into a joke. That's what I'm talking about. That's why you need to take care of this. And yes, they do need to hire, whether it's an HR expert or a social media manager or fucking hire the Hell's Angels. Maybe they need the Hell's Angels. They could stand guard in the back every week. I guarantee you nobody's going to fuck with them. So Danielson knocked down Sammy, dove onto Jericho on the floor. Sammy tried to dive onto Danielson, but he intercepted him with a hard right hand. Guevara and Jericho, they knocked Danielson off balance, off the top rope. Sammy pulled Jericho into the ring with a Spanish fly, or I think it was Garcia. Danielson climbed back onto the apron after being knocked to the floor by Jericho during the break. Sammy and Jericho, they pose. They went back to hitting chops on Danielson. Garcia and Jericho both tagged in, and Sammy tried to jump at Garcia, but he got swatted right out of the air. Jericho and Garcia traded some punches back and forth. Garcia stomped on him, landed a suplex out of the corner. Jericho tried for a Walls of Jericho. Garcia reversed into the Dragon Tamer, which got a big pop from the crowd. Guevara broke it up with a super kick. Jericho went for the Lion Salt. Garcia got the knees up. Sammy tagged in. He leapt into a submission, though. As soon as he came off the top rope, Garcia just grabbed him in a submission hold. And Jericho tried to break it up, but both guys got trapped in submissions by Danielson and Garcia. Stereo submissions at the same time. Both men placed Guevara on the top rope for a double team, but he flipped out, landed on his feet. Sammy hit a running Spanish fly on Danielson. He hit went for the GTH on Garcia, but he reversed out of it and hit a pile driver. Jericho broke up the pin. Danielson immediately caught Jericho with a knee strike. Garcia and Guevara, they traded some strikes, and they were both down. Jericho suplexed Danielson through a table on the outside, or he tried to. So at first, he tried to suplex him through the table by the timekeeper's area. And he kind of hit the side of the table. So he tried again, and this time he was able to suplex Danielson through the table. Sammy went for the GTH again, and he hit it flush right on the nose. He went up top. He was going for the shooting star. Garcia, though, got the knees up, and he applied the Dragon Slayer again, or the Dragon Tamer. Jericho hit a belt shot, though. He took the Ring of Honor world title when the referee wasn't looking. He clocked Garcia with it to break up the hold, and Sammy covered him, and he got the pin to win it for Team Jericho. After the match, Jericho and Guevara celebrated. The Jericho Appreciation Society, they came out on the ramp, and Jericho gave kind of a glance to Garcia of almost regret, that he kind of regretted what he had to do there. It was almost like tough love. But the closing parting shot of the show was Sammy Guevara being hoisted upon the shoulders of the JAS as the show went off the air. They gave the win to Sammy Guevara. Unfucking believable. That tonight of all nights, Tony Khan, I guess, just thought that it would make for great heat. I think it's embarrassing. I don't think he should have been in the match to begin with. Not only is he in the match, he wins to close out the show. And this right here is part of the problem. This is the definition of tone deaf. As far as Jericho is concerned, he cheats because he knew Garcia was going to win the match otherwise. I like the ROH story with Jericho. I said that last week. I actually like this story that they're telling with him. But what I don't like is how it's taking precedent over the AEW world title. This is the second week in a row. Again, next week in Toronto, it'll be more of the same. And I know Jericho's from Canada, and, you know, so he should be in the main event. But it's taking precedence over your world championship. I don't see that as being a good thing. And now for me, even though I like this story that they're telling with Jericho, I can see this being a turnoff for other people who don't give a shit about Ring of Honor. There are a lot of people who don't give a shit about Ring of Honor. And now you are taking this television show and you are building almost the entire show in some way around Ring of Honor, different Ring of Honor championships, Ring of Honor factions. I could see that being a turnoff for, you know, part of the audience. Now, Rampage on Friday is going to be live back in the same building they were in tonight. They're going to be in DC again. Rampage has Death Triangle defending the Trios titles against the Dark Order on the 2-year anniversary of Brody Lee's final match. I think we're going to get a title change. I think we're going to get a title change here in tribute to Mr. Brody Lee. Josh Woods and Tony Nese take on the Varsity Blondes. It was just an interview with Brian Pillman Jr. recently. It was 25 years ago today, by the way, that his father passed away, found dead in his hotel room. But there was an interview recently with Pillman Jr. where he flat out said, like, he didn't think the Varsity Blondes, he didn't know if they were going to be a thing anymore. Like, he just sounded like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if we're going to be a team anymore or not, so I guess they are. Because they're going to be on Rampage. Madison Rayne and I mean, look at this lineup. Madison Rayne and Sky Blue against Ty Mello and Anna Jay. They got Jon Moxley in the main event, though, with Claudio and Wheeler Yuta taking on Rush and Private Party, so that should be pretty good. Battle of the Belts 4 is going to be live on, I think it's also on TNT, immediately after Rampage. It's basically like a 2-hour Rampage from 10 to 12, with both shows being live on Friday night. Battle of the Belts has Jade Cargill defending the TBS title against Willow Nightingale. FTR will put the Ring of Honor tag team titles on the line against the Gates of Agony. And Pac is going to defend his All-Atlantic Championship against Trent Beretta of Best Friends. So Pac is going to be pulling double duty on Friday night And I don't believe he is going to be leaving with all of the titles that he is coming into the shows with. Dynamite next Wednesday is going to have Jungle Boy against Luchasaurus, Billy Gunn against Swerve Strickland, and Chris Jericho defending the Ring of Honor World Championship against Bryan Danielson. And that is your lineup for next Wednesday. The plan right now for Friday is to cover SmackDown. I am probably not going to be covering Rampage or Battle of the Belts on Friday night. I will probably cover that on Sunday. So the plan right now is probably going to be to go live at about 10:20 on Friday night. We'll cover SmackDown. It's the go-home show to Extreme Rules. It is the season premiere of SmackDown. We are getting Sheamus. We are getting Walter, part two, for the Intercontinental Championship. That's all I need. This time it's going to have commercials. That sucks, but that's all I need on my Friday night. I'm going to have to say no. I'm sorry to Madison Rayne and Sky Blue against Ty Mello and Anna Jay and Josh Woods and Tony Nese against Varsity Blondes. I can't do it. Can't do it. Where are we? Oh, look at this. We're less than 5 minutes away from midnight. This is very exciting. Let's take the Twitter poll. Put this up here for you. It only gets worse. This is the new worst ever record for an episode of Dynamite. Yikes. 47.7% thumbs up for Dynamite tonight, 25.5% thumbs in the middle, and almost 27% of you have given this show tonight a thumbs down. To be fair, though, Raw on Monday night, I think, was also below the 50% mark. I think Raw was right around 49%. So not a good score for Raw, and not a good score for Dynamite. Although I didn't think Dynamite was this bad as what you guys are showing here in this poll. I actually thought it was a pretty good show overall. But again, clouded by all of the bullshit. All of the drama and all of the bullshit that's going on. And as the week goes on, this is what people are going to be talking about. They're not going to be talking about any of this stuff that happened on the show tonight. And that's the real shame in it. You can understand why people in that company would be frustrated with Sammy Guevara. And they would be frustrated with all this nonsense that's going on. Because it takes away from the wrestling. And it takes away from the stories. And it takes away from what they're doing. And they kind of get painted with a broad brush. And that's how you end up with people, frankly, who don't want to be there anymore. And they want to go work somewhere else. But as long as Tony Khan allows this to be the case, then he's got nobody to blame but himself. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. The NFL is back. Playoff baseball is less than a week away. You hope your team can stay healthy on the field. But just as important, they need to stay healthy off the field too. Mental health in the sports world is very important. And more athletes are speaking out about the importance of mental health. You don't need to be a pro athlete, though, to take care of your mental health. And therapy is the best way to keep yourself in peak mental shape. My experience with BetterHelp was a positive one, and it can be for you, too. It's not a one-size-fits-all thing. Some people need more help than others. But for me, I got some great advice on what was keeping me from a full night's sleep, which was making me exhausted. And I've been able to make positive changes to my sleep habits. I also have more energy now than I had before. The therapist they matched me up with checked in on me to make sure I was making progress and doing well, and I appreciated that. I felt like she actually cared. And sometimes that's all that a person needs, to know that somebody cares and is there to check in on them. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, it's affordable, it's entirely online, and you can get matched with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey, and you can switch therapists at any time. When you're ready to feel at the top of your mental health game, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. All right, let's take a look at your super chats here as we count down the minutes until midnight. The tall one, 93, says, if you listen to White Rabbit, there are guitar riffs in the middle of the song that sound awfully familiar to the Wyatt family's original theme song. And he says, also, I won't be able to join the stream until 12. Well, he should be joining right about now. So if you could repeat your entire recap again, that would be great. I'll be sure to do that. Fire Panda. Remember, chat, we cannot talk. Yeah. Very funny. I must keep my sanity for Bray's return at Extreme Rules. Lakers Pats. Sammy is not worth all of this drama. He is no Shawn Michaels. Tuxedo T Servo with the $10 super chat says, happy birthday. Thank you, Tuxedo. Thank you very much. J Knight, 1984, $9.99 super chat. Hey, Solomonster, have you heard? No. Not that the bird is the word, but the Braves won. Hehehe. Thank you for the $9.99. One and only Sammy, bigger heel than MJF right now. Crazy times. Joseph Brooks. Cherish, keep, borrow, and sell. Spelled sell wrong. On the greats, sell, stipulate. Oh, I see. Okay. All right. So he did not spell. He spelled it that way on purpose. On the greatest cell stipulation matches, first Hell in a Cell, first Elimination Chamber, 92 War Games, SummerSlam 94 Cage. I don't know. I love them all. Actually, the first Elimination Chamber would be at the bottom of the list. I don't love that as much as the other ones. But I would go first Hell in a Cell, SummerSlam 94 Cage, 92 War Games, and then I would put the Elimination Chamber on the very bottom. Is it midnight? I think it is. It is midnight. It is midnight. All right. I am very happy to spend part of my birthday here with you guys. I appreciate all of your all of the love here. I should probably put this on. So there we go. All right. See, I came ready for the occasion here. It's not a party until the hat comes on. I don't wear hats very often, but I will wear for usually birthday and New Year's, and that's about it. So, thank you very much. That is very kind of you. Nick Grosso, thank you for the $9.99. Says, I'm getting sick of all the backstage drama that Tony Khan needs to start being a boss. Or find someone that can. Solid show, and I think we can safely say that Saraya is cleared after the brawl with Britt Baker. Man, I am feeling the love in the live chat. I can't even keep track of all these messages. Shots. Shots. There will be no... No, my days of shots are over. My days of shots are over. What I have in this mug is enough for me tonight. Made special for tonight. Mr. Notorious Chico, driving on the Van Wick at the moment, laughing at your rant. He sent that in 2 hours ago. He's probably still sitting on the Van Wick listening to this. Joseph Brooks with the $9.99. Your favorite wrestler is Brett. My favorite wrestler is Rock. Brett mentioned, or Brett mentored and looked out for a very young Rock. Let's say Brett never retired and... Would it have been great to see Rock versus Brett in a feud? Yeah, we only got one match between them on Raw. And that was a very young Rocky Maivia. It was not The Rock. So yes, unfortunately, Rock and Brett is one of those matches like Rock and Shawn that we missed out on. James Griffin. With the $3 super chat, a Solomonster. What would you think a story like in Infinity War? Every promotion joins together to defeat one opposing force. I mean, that'll never happen. Unless, of course, they all get together to, you know, come up against the government or something. If the government wanted to make them employees instead of independent contractors. All of a sudden, you would see them all. They would get very buddy-buddy and they would unite. That might be the one thing that can unite all of these promotions, is to prevent them from being classified as employees instead of independent contractors. Foodhive says, main event Garcia strikes again. You are correct. Main event Garcia yet again. Another Daniel Garcia main event here tonight. Andre Israel. I miss babyface TNT champion Sammy. Where do you think he went wrong? Or is it a combination of different things? Is there anything he can do to fix it? He's young and he's immature. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. I mean, he had to go to... Didn't he have to go to, like, sensitivity training or something after the Sasha Banks thing came out from years earlier? So he did that. That was very embarrassing. You would think he wouldn't want to make waves after that. And so he did the sensitivity training stuff. And then, of course, the stuff with Eddie. And then now this. I think it's just young, you know, a situation where you have a young guy who's very immature and doesn't know any better. Where did he go wrong? I mean, I don't think there was any kind of switch that got flipped where he suddenly changed. I know he got married recently. I think maybe that would make him somewhat mature, but apparently that's not the case. Mr. E1976 in the chat, thank you for the kayfabe cocktail. I appreciate that. Mark in the chat wants to know, what did he say about Sasha? Would anybody in the chat like to bring Mark up to speed on that whole thing? I'll leave that to the chat. Iceman, 38 Iceman. I'm lucky to share a birthday with the great Solomonster. Happy birthday and love the show. Well, happy birthday, Iceman. You didn't tell me how old you are. Fire Panda. Mr. Monster, fun fact. Since you are the Lord of the Pandas, we pandas celebrate your birthday and consider it a national holiday. As well you should. Suplex with the $10 super chat. Tony Khan suspending Andrade, Kingston, the Elite, and CM Punk for fighting, but not Sammy Guevara, proves he plays favorites. Someone else needs to be in charge of talent because he is not fit to lead. You know, again, when you write it out like that, and we don't know if Andrade is suspended. He got sent home. We can assume that's a suspension, but that hasn't been formally announced. But you write it out like that. Andrade suspended. Kingston got suspended for 2 weeks. The Elite suspended. Punk suspended. I mean, are they going to have much of a roster left at this point if this keeps up for, you know, another incident, two incidents, three incidents? They're going to have more people on the suspended list than they have on the active roster. Liquid Sharingan says, what? Thank you. Deep Delicious Chicken. Happy birthday, Solid Monster. Scissor Meat Monster. You have been scissored. Consider yourself scissored. Chris Underwood. Happy birthday to my go-to podcaster in the IWC. Thank you, Chris. Epsilon Sama. Screw AEW. Screw Sammy. And screw Tony. Hashtag free Andrade. We have got James Cooper with the $9.99. The people that crucified Punk would welcome Jeff Hardy back with open arms. Punk had a skirmish and spoke his mind. Jeff's actions are leading to another Tammy situation. I've said my part about the Jeff Hardy thing. I've made my thoughts very clear. I think Jeff Hardy should be behind bars. French Fry Slut, $10 Super Chat. Sammy must have dirt on Tony Khan because he ain't no way he's starting with all this drama and nothing is done about it. By the way, happy birthday. Thank you. Thank you, French Fry Slut. M. Sund with the $3 Super Chat. You can tell it wasn't part of an AEW storyline because Andrade was involved. That is the Super Chat of the night so far. M. Sun with the Super Chat of the night, but look at M. Mills just dropped a $50 Super Chat to say happy birthday. Michelle, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. Thank you for the birthday Super Chat. But I gotta say, M. Sun M. Sun has the Super Chat of the night right there. You can tell that it was not part of an AEW story because Andrade was involved. I love it. I love it. Sad but true, actually. Very true. And, whoa! Whoa. Alvin Johnson just dropped a $150 super chat bomb here on the stream. Holy shit. And still only second to our boy JM, who I haven't gotten to yet. He dropped 200. Wow. Love how that just popped up there right in front of me. Anti-M-Bishop 07, AEW needs better help. Hit that like button. Rodimus Prime with the $15 super chat. Happy birthday, Sala Monster. Hope it'll be a good one. That said, all the drama in AEW is wild. Childish, I say. Childish. I agree. Hey, Makoto Nananya. Just dropped a $50 super chat. Longtime listener wishing you a happy birthday. Makoto, thank you very much. Very, very kind of you. I like that name, by the way. Very cool name. Rodimus, again, thank you. James Cooper, happy birthday. Been listening since 2011. You are putting out your best content, in my opinion. Thank you for everything that you do. Well, that means a lot to me. There's so much content. I mean, there's more content that I am doing on a weekly basis now than I did previously. And this has been a crazy fucking year. I mean, think of all the things that have happened this year. Stone Cold Steve Austin coming back and wrestling a match for the first time in 19 years feels like it happened 5 years ago. Think about what happened just this summer alone. It's been a crazy year. It's not over yet. But I am very happy that you are happy with the content. I hope you keep tuning in. We have got Deep Delicious. I'm sorry, but some of the AEW talent lack common sense. Triple H and Stephanie right now are just laughing. They're laughing because they know that there's talent right now that's going to end up working for them in the not-too-distant future because of this stuff. I mean, that's really what's going to end up happening. Rizzo dropping $50 an hour ago. $50 from Rizzo. Says, hi, chat. I got stood up tonight after work, so I get to watch the chat and spend the money I was going to use for this date. I will give it to you. Also, I agree with the tweet that you had about Tony Khan needing to hire a social media manager. This is embarrassing. Oh, we're beyond that now. We are beyond him needing to hire a social media manager. This is a much bigger issue that needs to be addressed, and the finger is pointed directly at Mr. Khan. This is beyond just social media. Brian Becerra, Dynamite was fine. Want to wish you a happy birthday. Mine was yesterday. Well, happy birthday, Bryant. I hope it was a good one. Alonzo Cruz, oh my god, Brian Cage, WTF, thought he was dead, LOL. That is the second best super chat I've heard tonight so far. Alonzo, thank you. And Abdul Rahman, thank you for the birthday shout. Member, a channel member for 17 months. Very cool. Star with the $2. Remember when Taz said that AEW wasn't a sloppy shop? I said you got to be careful what you say because these things have a way of coming back to bite you on the ass. I remember the sloppy shop comments, indeed. I do remember that. Kevin Murillo, AEW needs an Undertaker type locker room leader and wrestler's court. Or better talent relations. Yeah, I don't think wrestler's court is the answer here. Bob the Builder. With the $3. Hey, Dangerous Damien, thank you. Channel member for 12 months. He pitched the idea of Andrade taking the TNT belt off Sammy about a year ago. Sad to see how things turned out. Bob the Builder says, did you see Tony Khan's ridiculous comment about desperately wanting to win Booker of the Year? I laughed so much reading that interview. Did he say that? Did he really say that? Deep Delicious, Tony Khan needs to fire Tony Khan as the booker. I'm sure he'll get right on that. A. Lavelle. Shout out to you, brother. Dan Richards, Cornette listeners, knew this daycare was going to explode over a year ago. They have talked about backstage BS for a long time. Now, they've talked about backstage stuff with the Elite. Not with Andrade and Sammy and all of these other people, and Eddie Kingston and all these other people. I know they've had a hard-on for the Elite for a while. And, you know, that certainly has come to pass, but I'm sure that was really his main focus when he was talking about some of the backstage stuff. JM, again, with that $200 bomb, I don't even know what to say. You are the fucking man. Says, the women's trios match was the most enjoyable part of the show for me. Kudos to the AEW crowds for going Thanos, grabbing the Infinity Gauntlet, saying, fine, we'll do it ourselves, and turning Jamie Hayter babyface. Happy birthday, Solo. This should be able to buy you one drink at a New York City bar. I might be able to get two for that price. I might be able to get two mixed drinks at a bar in Manhattan for that super chat. So thank you, JM. I'll make sure I make it something very strong. Maybe we'll get some Don Julio. Tonic Blaze. At this point, Tony needs to start firing people to make an example, but he does not have the balls. Marquan, 1976, happy birthday. Your streams keep me laughing even when I have had bad days. Well, I try to keep everybody happy. I try to do what I can, so I love hearing that. Now the World, 138, happy birthday. Mets still blow. Go Dodgers. We'll see. We'll see about that. Plus Ultra Adrian, thank you for the birthday wishes for the $4.99. I appreciate that. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, about 3 years ago, we had the Hell in a Cell rant on your birthday celebration. The irony of this happening again 3 years later. Happy birthday. Oh, God, don't remind me. MattView72, happy birthday, Solo Monster. Do you have a favorite match that took place on your birthday? I actually do not. But I always have to acknowledge the fact that I share a birthday with the late Bruno Sammartino, one of the greatest WWE champions of all time. Certainly the longest reigning WWE champion of all time. And I share a birthday with Dixie Carter. So you can always remember that October 6th is Bruno Sammartino. There's Perk Angle. As soon as I said Dixie Carter, Perk Angle. That fucking, look at that smile. Look at that creepy smile. He popped up as soon as I mentioned Dixie's name. Oh my God. Anyway, yes, October 6th, Bruno Sammartino, Dixie Carter, and the Solomons. Just put the trios titles on the three of us. We can dig up Bruno. Put the trios titles on us. Griga, thank you, amigo. I appreciate that. Thank you for the five. Tito Lies. This is such good shart. The Mount Vernon Kid, happy birthday, my New York brother. AEW needs a wrestler's court, but it seems like it wouldn't be a damn thing. AEW equals REW, Rugrat Elite Wrestling. Khan needs to man up. Rafael Gutierrez, happy birthday, Solomonster. Thank you, Rafael. I said that like Master Splinter, Rafael. Dakota says, did Russo write the last episode of Squid Games? Because I swore, bro, I saw a swerve happen, bro. Looking forward to season two. It's just drama, bro. It's just drama. Hey, Jackalope Music, thank you very much. Channel member for 19 months. Holy shit. Rizzo did the Wall Street Journal, Vince News just disappear, or are things still happening with that? As you said on the podcast, it sounds like the real sports piece is dead. Also, that Perk Angle gif scares me. Well, that's why I put it in there. I want to terrify you. It's October. It's Halloween. It's the perfect super chat. I'm gonna say that the stuff with Vince, I think, is dead. You know, I mean, the media loses interest when a person steps aside. All of a sudden, the media loses interest. So my guess is that we're not going to hear anything else about it. There is a documentary that is being done by, oh gosh, is it Vice? I think Vice is doing a Vince McMahon documentary. It's supposed to be premiering this month. I don't believe Netflix is working on theirs anymore. There was a Netflix one, I think, in the works. But I think the media has moved on. They've moved on to AEW. There's far more drama going on there now than in WWE. We've got Deep Delicious Chicken. Bring in Rocky Romero as temporary head booker for AEW with New Japan's blessing or someone else. Tony Khan needs a vacation. We have got Angel Silva. Buy, rent, or sell. Chokeslams. Taker, Kane, or Big Show. I personally loved Kane's Chokeslam show when he used to go down with them was cool also. Nothing is cooler than the one-handed Kane Chokeslam. When Kane was the monster Kane back in the late 90s, early 2000s, the one-handed Kane Chokeslam cannot be topped. So I would go Kane and then Big Show when he was the giant in WCW because he would get some fucking height on that. Go take a look at the chokeslam he gave Eric Bischoff once on Nitro. And I would put Undertaker last. Undertaker actually had a pretty weak-looking chokeslam. Evan Schaff with the $25 super chat. Happy birthday, Solo. You have been a source of entertainment and inspiration for years. Hope you can enjoy a gentleman's jack on your born day. I will take you up on that offer. I will do that. Rojo Bear says, I hope Andrade does not get fired. I think Andrade might want to get fired. I think that's exactly what he wants. Maybe that's why Tony Khan isn't firing people, because he figures that that's what they want. If he's not going to give them a release, they'll just try to get fired, and he's not going to fire them because then they'll go to WWE. Corey Mitchell, AEW locker room is becoming more dangerous than the NXT parking lot. You're jacking my material, bro. It's exactly what I said during the review. I said the AEW locker room is now officially the second most dangerous place in all of wrestling. Shin Akuma, happy friggin' birthday to the Sala Monster. Thank you, Shin. The Nacho Man, there was a hire an HR expert sign in the crowd. Yes, I mentioned that during the main event. It was right there on camera. You had Sammy Dramara, and then you had hire an HR expert. Bob the Builder, Sammy Guevara had to have saved some burning Ring of Honor tapes from Tony's dad's car for this amount of undying loyalty. Does that mean that Sammy will be giving us the shaky cam soon on television? Roka Will 23, if Tony Khan does not put his foot down, AEW could end up witnessing their own version of a Dynamite Kid and Jacques Rougeau brutal confrontation. Yeah, you know, at some point, something will happen and they may end up suing AEW for some sort of, you know, unsafe work conditions. I mean, you've got to get a handle on this. This is insane. I mean, this really is insane. People are going to go to work in AEW. They're going to go home with PTSD. I mean, you got to do something about this. Slipper House, extra, extra. Thank you for the super chat. It says, amen, Pastor Solomonster. Carl Johnson, you got to study up on your wrestling history, bro. He says, who the fuck is Jacques Rougeau? And he spelled it Jacques Rougeau. Carl, I love you, but somebody school Carl, please, in the chat, and let him know. King Bling Blah, DX on Monday. Billy is too busy scissoring. Deep Delicious, DX should acknowledge the Acclaimed on social media. Why would they do that? Como Amosto with the 999. Sala Monster, happy birthday. What are your plans to celebrate, and do you feel Willow will win the TBS championship from Jade on Friday? And if not, who do you see ultimately winning the title from Jade? It has to be Jamie Hayter. I said Chris Statlander before, but if Statlander is going to be gone for about 7 or 8 months, I think that's too long to wait. I think you put the title on Jamie Hayter. Either Jamie or Statlander. It's got to be one of those two. I don't think Willow is going to win the belt, no. As far as celebrating, I'm celebrating now. I'm celebrating with you. This is my birthday celebration. I get to spend it with all of you. Metal Rules 5, thank you for the 10 spot. Metal Rules. Mr. E 1976, many happy returns. I've been listening to you since 2009 and just want to thank you for everything you do. It is an honor and a privilege. It is an honor and a privilege to have you as a listener of the show and a viewer of the podcast. We've got Rizzo with the 999. Happy birthday, Solo. Also, finished the podcast today. The only thing I disagree with is I think Brian Cage should be released, because until tonight, I forgot that he was still employed by AEW. And it seems that his situation is a little similar to Ali. I thought that said Alf. Oh, this is what happens when I try to speed read the Super Chats. It seems his situation is a little similar to Ali, because since Cage's wife spoke out, we have not seen him in months. Yeah, but what does it have to do with Ali? Ali's wife didn't speak out. I don't get the similarity there. The one similarity is that Vince McMahon had no plans for Ali. He was just keeping him off TV out of spite. Tony Khan obviously has no real plans for Brian Cage. So that's where I see there being a similarity. Tom Phelan with the $5 Super Chat. Just starting the stream, but wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Well, thank you, Tom. BCOM, see clearly, I have to transfer because my supervisor tried to fight me and I reported it, so he keeps his job, but I got a transfer. Well, I wasn't happy anyways. Not sure if you're being serious or if that's a play on the whole Sammy and Andrade thing. I hope that's not true. Isaac. AEW's backstage is exactly why we have BetterHelp. I think that whole roster could use BetterHelp. Okay, so apparently this is a real situation here. BCOMC clearly again says, I work at Goodwill, and it's a free-for-all. I reported my supervisor for trying to fight me, but I'm getting transferred. Thank God I can feel better now. Well, that's pretty shitty, though. Why are you being transferred and not him? Well, I guess he's the supervisor, right? So, seniority rules. EJ Slemp, imagine if Tony Khan ran a territory 40 years ago. if the AEW roster doesn't respect him, imagine what old school guys would... Oh, my God. They would have eaten him alive. Are you kidding me? You imagine Tony Khan running Mid-South? Instead of Bill Watts. They would have eaten him for lunch. Uffman Entertainment, it is officially the 6th. So happy birthday to the Sala Monster. Hope it's a good one. May you continue to kick ass. God bless and remember, it is just wrestling, bro. It is just wrestling. Uffman, thank you. Not just for the super chat, but all the help in the chat every week. It is very much appreciated. Amiibo Guru with the $10. Happy birthday. Thank you for what you do and hope you have the best birthday ever. You are the best. Hopefully the Mets can bring you a playoff win. Can I get a Vic Joseph? Ooh! There you go. You know, Vic Joseph missed NXT this week. He's on his honeymoon with... His wife, the backstage announcer, whose name I just suddenly forgot. But they had that other guy who I guess does the play-by-play for NXT Level Up. They had him with Wade Barrett and Byron Saxton on Tuesday. And I didn't think he was bad. I thought he was. I thought he actually did a pretty good job. Fire Panda, since it's your birthday, may you show us the beautiful Sound Off Championship. It's in the other room. In the other room. It's not present at the moment. Bret Hart. Bray joins Damage Control. And they feud with Judgment Day. Ray Wrighton. Ah, Ray. With the $9.99. From one Libra to another. Happy birthday. Libras are awesome. Libras are the fucking best. Ray, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I can't get that out of my head now. Bray Wyatt in Damage Control. I just... I don't even know what to say to that. Juan Ocampo. Happy birthday, you old geezer. Drinking a Truly for you. I am an old geezer. How did it all happen? I wasn't an old geezer when I started this show. When did the transformation occur? How did this happen? The Nihilist, happy birthday. Need a Solomonster Van Wick feud. The Van Wick always wins. Alonzo Cruz, can't wait for Telemundo to... do AEW backstage novellas and call it El Drama de Dynamite. Because at this point, AEW is a drama club. Also, happy birthday, best wishes. Robert Parker, happy birthday, Solomonster. Great show as always. Robert, thank you. And we just hit 600 likes as well. Keeps climbing. Thank you for that too, everybody in the chat. King Bling Blah, tell us a young Solomonster birthday party story. Oh my goodness. Nah, I mean, nothing overly interesting. There was the one time that I broke the ball return at the bowling alley. I when I lose, I don't react very well. So I had gotten a couple of gutter balls and, you know, I took the ball on the next turn and I just kind of chucked it. I was trying to like break the lane. And then I went back to the ball return machine. I was sticking my hand, I almost lost my hand. I was sticking my hand in there. I'm kicking the machine. I was told, don't do that. Don't kick the machine. So of course I kicked it harder. Just stuff like that. Stupid stuff like that. I was very obnoxious. M. Mills, again, with that $50 drop from earlier. Thank you again. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, put them in Squid Games to resolve their issue. Oh, I bet you that their issues would be resolved very quickly if you did that. Ricky Edmond, happy birthday. What happened earlier with Sammy? Anybody in the chat want to let Ricky know what happened with Sammy? Alvin Johnson with the $150 Super Chat Bomb from 20 minutes ago. Shout out to a fellow October 6th baby. Just dropped by to say happy birthday to one of my favorite podcasters since 2011 with TV Tracks. Have fun, man. Because of work, I have to wait until the weekend to truly celebrate my 27th. Well, anything I would have planned to have possibly done this weekend went out the window when I realized that Extreme Rules is this weekend, so I will be working all weekend, but when you go out, I want you to have fun for me. Love Lie, just showing some love. Thank you, Love Lie. Mark K, happy birthday, you magnificent bastard. What do you think of AEW commentary? It's missing that Gorilla and Bobby chemistry. They're, well, let me tell you, I mean, all wrestling shows are missing the Gorilla and Bobby chemistry. There will never be another Gorilla and Bobby combo. I think since Jim Ross was taken off Dynamite, the commentary has been more enjoyable. I think Taz is great. And I think that the Taz and Excalibur combo, because they have experience from doing so many episodes of Dark together, I think they work well together. Tony Schiavone, at this point, I mean, on commentary, he's just kind of there. You know, he's more of the backstage interview guy. I can't really say he doesn't really add much to the broadcast, but I think Excalibur and Taz, they're just a more polished combo. And I've enjoyed it, you know, even without Jim Ross being on there the last few weeks. I think it's been an improvement. Makoto, longtime listener, wishing you a happy birthday. Again, Makoto, thank you for that $50. Ricky Edmond, favorite Friday the 13th movie is Friday the 13th Part 3, where he gets the hockey mask. Boots, National Today website does not list National Scissoring Day, but they do list National Kiss a Wrestler Day. Happy birthday, Solo, you are the man. BCOM, see clearly, happy birthday, although mine is October 28th. Just stressed. You'll be fine. If you are in a bad situation with your supervisor, the thing to do is to get the hell away. Metal Rules, thank you for the $10 super chat. Metal Rules 5. Or is that just Metal Rules V? Could be a 5. Cameron Johnson, happy birthday, Solid Monster. Hope you have a good one, and thanks for being the best part of my week every Sunday for the past 7 years. Thank you, Cameron. Marqueezy. Or Marqueezy. We'll call him Queezy. Marqueezy. Happy birthday, Solo. Thank you. Turtlehead. Do all of these disgruntled ex-WWE guys realize that they are killing their leverage if the release rumors are true? The grass will not be greener. Bob the Builder, are you going to watch the Mets game? I am not going to be able to, unless they make it to Sunday. If the series goes to Sunday, I could watch the Sunday game. But, you know, Friday night I'll be streaming, and Saturday night I'll be streaming, and so when am I watching the Mets game? You know how many Mets games I've actually watched this year? Very few. I've been following it all after it's over. I've been following it all on social media. I've been watching the beginning of certain games, the first maybe half hour or so. I have had the chance to watch very few actual Mets games this year because they always coincide with these streams. I'm always working. George Mazur, happy birthday. I hear they're expecting a huge reaction for Triple H on Raw Monday during DX reunion number 1677. We've got Les Lethal with the $2. Thank you, Mr. Lethal. Lone Wolf, the motto for 2022, controversy creates content. Happy birthday, bro. Look forward to the podcast on Sunday. Thank you, Lone Wolf. Rizzo, also the NHL starts next week. Go Red Wings. Oh, Harold, random name of the day, Booker T. Any thoughts? I like Booker T. I think Booker T has had a very charmed career, if you think about it. I mean, right? A lot of success as a tag team wrestler. He branched out as a singles, and he got himself over. He's won almost every championship you could think of. He's been a world champion. He's feuded with The Rock. He's feuded with Stone Cold. He's been, you know, he's done comedy stuff. He did the King Booker gimmick, which just kind of galvanized his entire career in 2006. He gave us Black Snow and Chet Lemon with Kevin Nash and TNA. That might probably his greatest contribution in TNA was Black Snow and Chet Lemon. So I like Booker. Jeremy Thunderstrikes, happy birthday, Solo, favorite wrestling podcaster. Thank you, Jeremy. Lorser Wuanti says happy birthday. I actually turned 22 on the 14th. Halloween and birthday in the same month is super underrated. Going as Gerald from Hey Arnold. Uffman Entertainment with the $20. Feliz cumpleaños. Espero que tengas un bien día. Gracias por todo lo que haces por nosotros. Y recuerda que es solo lucha libre, hermano. Es solo lucha libre. Thank you, Uffman. You didn't think I was going to do that, did you? Stone Norton with the $10. Happy birthday. I decided to finally become a Sound Off legend today. Thank you, Stone Norton, for becoming a member of the Sound Off channel family. Thank you for all the hard work you do and the amazing podcast and streams. Love from Arizona. We picked up a number of new channel members today during the watch-along. And we've got more of those coming up. We have at least two more. At least two more watch-alongs, maybe three, before the end of the year. And they are open to everybody, but of course the chat is members only. There's other content, the emotes. Let me see those emotes, by the way. I know we got a bunch of channel members in the chat. Show off those channel member emotes, if you will. Jackalope Music dream matches are one of my favorite things about AEW. If they lose anyone with all of the drama, cut ties or return once in the blue for a dream match. I don't know what the question is. I'm not sure what the question is, but I think, yeah, you'll have a few people who end up leaving. May not be for a while. Deep Delicious Chicken, what wrestling quotes would you use during a horror movie scene? I definitely would not use scissor me daddy ass if somebody was coming at me with a machete, I could tell you that much. Rizzo, I was thinking more of the spite angle in regards to Cage and Ali. There's Kevin Dunn. Sorry, I only had a certain amount of characters to use. There's the emotes. There's the emotes in the chat. BCOM, see clearly. I'm just going to put this in God's hands now. New chapter. That's it. New chapter. You got to move on. The past is in the past. You look ahead now to the future. That's the best way to look at it. Liquid Sharingan, I don't give a flying F. Get it off my TV. I have no idea what you're talking about, but whatever it is, it must have really pissed you off. Main Event Mike with the $10. Hey, fellow content creator, I think about starting live streams myself, but I realize that you already provide the best possible coverage. LOL. Just got home from Dynamite tonight, posted the after show. Happy birthday. Well, everybody's got their own voice, Mike. There are so many wrestling podcasts. Everybody has their own voice and their own opinion. Yours is as welcomed as anybody. So you just keep doing you and keep grinding, brother. Drew McIncock, happy birthday, Daddy Solo, scissor me. Consider yourself scissor. Duo Monster sounds on. My God, it's Bizarro Sala Monster. We meet at last. Happy birthday, by the way. We went from solo monster sounds off to duo monster sounds on. Lone Wolf, what's worse, being called a less famous Miz or saying the Miz is tougher than you? I would say the Miz is tougher than you. That's pretty bad. Ricky Edmond, will this be the last Halloween movie? Absolutely not. The last one with... not Michelle Pfeiffer. I'm thinking of Coolio from the other day in Dangerous Minds. Jamie Lee Curtis. It's the last one with Jamie Lee Curtis. But it will absolutely not be the last Halloween movie. The Halloween movies will outlive all of us. They will still be making them long after you and I are gone. Dr. Dakota, I hope the Blue Jays, unlike their hockey team counterpart, get past the first round, but Seattle could be trouble, but still proud of the Jays. Michael Cuomo with the $4.99. Hey, Michael, thank you. I know Michael's been one of our long times. And Sean O'Hare has been a Sound Off legend for 12 months. Happy birthday. You are the absolute man when it comes to the wrestling podcast content. Been listening since the TV Tracks days. Will always continue to support the best podcaster ever. Man, you guys are humbling me tonight. Yeah, we got the 15-year anniversary coming up next month. So we have that as well. I'm very proud of, you know, what I have been able to build over these 15 years. You know, everybody has their own thing that they do, and you know, it's gratifying for me to look back when I started this, which again I never planned on any of this, but to be able to build something out of nothing is very gratifying, just to be able to do that. But to build something out of nothing and then to build a following and have people who stick with you for 5, 10, 12, 15 years is just the best feeling in the world. It really is. So all of you that have been writing in tonight, it really does. It means a lot to me. And with all that mushy stuff out of the way, since you guys hit our goal tonight, let's do some birthday Be the Booker tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
I hope for my birthday we do a good job here. It'd be nice if we actually went 3 for 3. Start out with the men, see how we do. I'm hoping for a perfect 3 for 3 here and Be the Booker tonight. Michael. Hey, Michael. Thank you, man. I appreciate that very much. Michael, is it Meneses or Meneses in the chat? Let me know. And Del Fuego is driving, but he's listening. So be careful, please. It's been miserable in New York all week. It's been raining literally every fucking day. Finally, tomorrow, we're going to actually see the sun for the first time in a week on my birthday, too. So that'll be nice. All right, let's do this. We start with Ryback already. Already a fail. Ryback has ruined my birthday. After all that, Ryback is the first person that I land on. Are you fucking kidding me? Ryback one-on-one with, oh boy. Oh my God. Oh my God. After everything I just got done talking about. Ryback against Sammy Guevara. I don't even know what to say. So we're just going to move on. We're just going to move on to the women. We begin with Jill. Oh, Jesus Christ. The Mole Lady. The Mole Lady. Jillian Hall. With apparently a pork chop stuck to her face. Jillian Hall one-on-one with... Ah, fuck's sake. You know, why do I even bother? I should just resign my position as the booker right here and now. Brandi Rhodes and the Mole Lady. Oh, we're going to go 3 for 3 tonight. It's just not... 3 for 3 that I was hoping for. This should be interesting. Should I even bother with the tag teams? Do I even want to hit the button? We begin. All right, this is good. This is good. We begin with the British Bulldogs. That's good. That's a good start. Davey Boy Smith, Dynamite Kid, getting into the ring with the BWO. This was a fucking fail, is what this was. Be the Booker birthday edition is a fail. I mean, that's the thing with Be the Booker. You never know what you're going to get. It's like that box of chocolates from Forrest Gump. You truly never know what you are going to get. And what we got tonight was a wet fart. That's what we got. I don't think I could have booked a worse card if I tried. What do you think Dynamite Kid would have done to the Blue Meanie? Maybe I should have given that the bell. Oh my goodness. Oh, we got some more super chats. Jamin John, most overlooked match in wrestling history. Giant against Hogan at Halloween Havoc 95. Or AJ Styles' last match in TNA. I don't think Giant and Hogan is overlooked at all. That's the monster truck one, right? Where Giant fell off the side of the building. That's one of the biggest wrestle crap matches of all time. I would say, I don't even remember who AJ wrestled in his last match in TNA. So I would say AJ Styles. Ricky Edmund, who's more scarier, Freddie, Jason, or Michael? I gotta go Michael. It's just that expressionless mask, the Shatner mask, There's just something very unnerving about it. Fire Panda, we love you, Solid Monster, then now, together, forever. It's actually then, now, forever, together, just to correct you on that. I'm a stickler for the details. What can I say? Dr. Dakota Scorpio, Be the Booker swerved you on your birthday, bro. Yes, it very much did. Rizzo says we may need to take some time off from Be the Booker. we may need an off season. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, at least Be the Booker is more. There it is. The Solid Monster Bushwhacker Super Chat. It cracks me up every time. Dakota says, at least Be the Booker is more consistent than Tony Khan's booking. Food Hive with the 1999. Been MIA, but cannot ignore your birthday. Happy Born Day. Thank you for working so hard and creating content for us. I know it's not easy to do, but you do it, and thank you for that. You the man, enjoy your day. Yeah, you've been sorely missed. We've missed having Food Hive around. He's been very busy these last few weeks, and it was very nice of you to stop by and show some birthday love. Shikamaru, 1218. But really, though, happy birthday and thank you for all that you do. Been listening for years, and you are awesome. Let's go Mets. Indeed. And Fire Panda says, I apologize for my botch. You are forgiven. I place the sword upon your head. You are forgiven. Ray, yeah, I know Ray. Ray says I'm a horrible booker. Yeah. I'm a better announcer for House of Glory than I am a booker here on these streams. But look, I am at the mercy. It's a completely random thing. It's the randomizer, and it has a mind of its own, and I have no control over it. AJ came out to his Evil Ways theme and was doing a Sting thing where he did not speak. I remember the Evil Ways music, which actually is a pretty good song. I remember that. Henry Lamas, thank you for the birthday wish in the chat. Brett Hard says Bobby Lashley should have the El Generico gimmick. I don't think that that would do much to hide his identity. I don't think that would be a very successful gimmick. Joe Tenno in the chat just finished The Shield last week. That final episode was perfect. The Shane thing at the end left me shook. What a great show. I feel empty now. That's how I felt when it was over. I just felt completely empty. But I think it may well be the greatest ending to a television show ever. The whole show is just, everything about it is just fantastic. Darth Panic with the $20 super chat. Happy birthday. Hopefully AEW can get its act together. Having an alternative to WWE is good for pro wrestling in general. That's what I've said from the beginning. Having all of this dysfunction doesn't help. But I've said that from day one. Stone Norton, once you got Ryback, I knew you were going to get Sammy. Have them fight for the title of unsafest wrestler. Loop, he's average. I met Brett many years ago at a signing. I actually met Brett, I think, the same day I met Flair. And he was sitting down for most of it. But when he came in, Brett, you know, he's average size. He's not a small man, but he's not that big. He might have been bigger when he was actually still a wrestler and he was hitting the gym all the time. When I saw him, I mean, I met him, it probably was 2008, I think, is when I met them. Talking about The Walking Dead in the chat. I already saw next week's episode of The Walking Dead. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I will tell you that there is pro wrestling in the episode. These are the final episodes of The Walking Dead. This is it, finally. Before all the spinoffs and everything start popping up. But there is pro wrestling. There is an actual pro wrestling show on the next episode of The Walking Dead. Just a little heads up for you. Food Hive, Sammy, tonight of all nights for Be the Booker. The curse lives. It's like it knows. Ricky Edmond with the $20 super chat. I know you have your opinion on who's scarier, but you don't to be a big fan and don't like Freddy, but he has the power to show you what you are scared of and what you failed in life while you sleep. And also sleeping, I also unavoidable. This is like a autocorrect nightmare here. Yeah, look, I mean, Freddy's scary too. I know he gets you in your dreams. That's pretty scary. I'm just saying, Michael, I've seen more Halloween movies than I have Nightmare on Elm Street movies. I saw the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie, and it freaked me out. I think that was the one where Johnny Depp gets sucked down into the bed, right, into the mattress, and then spits out the blood. There was another movie where I think in her dream, he ripped this girl's arms off or something, and she had some kind of like, I don't know, it's like she's working out on like a bench or whatever and pulls her arms off or something. And then there's another one with a face sticking out of a refrigerator that's like, I have these memories. There was one where there was a girl, I think, who had an inhaler. I guess she had asthma. And I guess in her dream, like something with her breathing, like doesn't he like suck the oxygen out of her or something? Like I have vague memories of these things. And it did give me nightmares. I'm not going to lie. It did give me nightmares for a while. So you may be right. Maybe Freddy is the scariest. Maybe I'm being biased towards Michael. I just think the mask. You know, you see that guy in a mask in a dark alley standing over there, that's going to freak you the fuck out. I'm just saying. Child's Play too? Yeah, Child's Play was very scary. The first movie. It got more ridiculous as the movies went on. None of them were as good as the original. The first Child's Play movie, the first death of the movie with the hammer to the face and she falls out of the window. I mean, the doll was fucking scary. You know, it's a freaky doll and a killer doll when the face scrunches up and it gets all angry and he's going after somebody with a knife. I mean, it's a classic movie. You can't beat the classics. I really need to watch the TV show. They're starting season two. I haven't even seen season one yet. I really should watch season one. Andre Israel, do you have a favorite reaction to a super chat? Your reaction to Bert Hurt on that one NXT live stream will forever live in my head rent-free. Well, we got our friend Paul Heyman. We haven't seen him in a little while here, but when Paul Heyman drops some of his gems in the Super Chat, those are probably some of my favorites. Deep Delicious, buy, sell, or rent for the Undertaker decade, 1990s Undertaker, 2000s Undertaker, or 2010s Undertaker. Well, definitely not 2010s Undertaker. You know, it really depends. I mean, I grew up on 90s Undertaker. But 2000's Undertaker had much better matches. So it depends what's more important to you. It's down to the 90s or the 2000s one. I'm going to probably, I mean, just, you know, it's tough. I'm going to probably buy on 90s Undertaker. I'm going to buy on that, even though the better matches overall were in the next decade. You know, 90s Undertaker, you don't just have the classic Undertaker, but you also, look, you have Hell in a Cell. We just did a watch-along for it this afternoon, right? That was in 97. Hell in a Cell with Mankind was in 98. Really, all the matches he had with Mankind and their whole feud in 96, it was great stuff. So it's not like Undertaker didn't have any gems in the 90s, but just that original character, man, those early years. I mean, that's what I grew up on, you know? Nostalgia is very powerful. I mean, it really is. There's a reason why nostalgia sells. It doesn't last very long, but WWE has made a lot of money off nostalgia for years. There's a reason why it works. Deep Delicious, though, thank you for that super chat. I appreciate that. Pennywise. You know, I never saw it until the new version of it. I saw that movie. I still have never seen the original one, the one that came out, I think, in the 80s. I never saw the original It. I never liked clowns. Bully the Clown. I'm surprised we haven't seen him tonight. Bully the Clown is fine. He's our $30 super chat. But I was never big into clowns, other than the ones I have to block and deal with on social media every day. Maybe that's why I hate clowns so much. I don't know. I'm not really a clown guy. I did see that movie Terrified, though. I know Terrified 2 just came out. I think Chris Jericho is in that. Yeah, the clown in that movie Terrified, which is free on YouTube. It was like a very low-budget movie that they made, and now they just made a second version of it. That is the creepiest clown I've ever seen in my life. So, Arthur. Arthur the Clown. Creepy as fuck. Or Art. Was it Art? What did I say? Did I say Art? I said Arthur. I think it's Art. Art the Clown. Fire Sammy is trending, according to BlizzFan. Hey, BlizzFan, are you ready for Saturday? BlizzFan, you've got to be very excited for Saturday. BlizzFan has been in the chat for months, predicting that Bray is coming back, and he's still convinced that it's going to be Bray and Alexa together. This is your big moment. I mean, this is like your WrestleMania coming up this weekend. What are you going to do if he's not there? I'm worried about you. I think he might spontaneously combust. But we have the Extreme Rules review this Saturday, so we're going to find out. We only have a few more days. We're going to get our answer as far as the White Rabbit. Hopefully I don't get let down again. No, I think this time you are correct, but look, it's possible. It's possible they hold off until Raw Monday, right? It's the season premiere in Brooklyn on Raw Monday night. Maybe they do the reveal on Raw. I think they'll do it on Saturday, though. That's my gut. DeAndre in the chat wants to know, am I going to cover Vice's new Tales from the Territories? Yes. I watched the first episode already, and I will do a little review for it on the podcast on Sunday. First episode was on Memphis wrestling. It literally is Tales from the Territories. They have four people. First episode had Jerry Lawler, Jimmy Hart, Dutch Mantel, five people. Jerry Lawler, Jimmy Hart, Dutch Mantel, Jeff Jarrett, and Jerry Jarrett sitting around a table, and they tell stories. And you know how Vice does these things. They have the reenactments, kind of like the blurry reenactments like they do on Dark Side of the Ring. And that's literally what the entire episode is. It's not like a documentary where they go through the history of the territory. It's a retelling of stories from people who were in the territory, ran the territory. So yes, I will do a review for it on Sunday. Juan Ocampo says, heard you're turning 30, so that means if Vince was in charge, you would not get an NXT deal because of the age. Well, if I'm 30, I'm already too old. I'm already too old. If I was female and I was 20, I would already be too old for Jerry Lawler. Who do I think they got from Mid-South? Jim Ross, I would think they would want to get Jim Ross, right? Bill Watts is still alive. So if they could get JR and Bill Watts for that, Jim Duggan maybe Ted DiBiase. Has anyone gotten the adult Happy Meal? Yeah, what is this adult Happy Meal I keep hearing about? What do they give you? Like accessories for your car? Like what would they include in an adult Happy Meal? It's called a Happy Meal. An adult Happy Meal is called a Happy Meal. You know what my Happy Meal would be? Whatever the cheapest meal they have is on the menu. That's my Happy Meal. What do they give you in an adult Happy Meal? They put condoms in the package or something? I mean, what are they offering you? You're taking my horror card membership. I never saw The Exorcist. I've seen the scenes of the head spinning and everything and the vomiting, but no, I've seen The Shining. I've seen, yeah, there's certain movies from that time period that I saw, but no, The Exorcist was never one of them. Yeah, see, Mr. Dynamite has the right idea. Says my kind of happy meal would include some form of alcohol. Maybe one of those little, you know, they have those little whiskey bottles. Slip that in there. Deep Delicious with the $2. Thriller by Michael Jackson is the best. Came out in my year of birth. So, of course, I am a big fan of that. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, it's okay. I never saw Halloween 3. Get out. Get out. You're banished. Banished from this stream. They give you a box. Is that what they give you in the adult Happy Meal? They give you a box? Is there anything in the box? You want to give me an adult Happy Meal? Why don't you slip me some gas money? Give me a gift card to my local Shell station. Food Hive, Hocus Pocus is a classic, and I loved Hocus Pocus, too. I never saw the original Hocus Pocus. Jeremy Thunderstrikes, rank the worst Halloween movie, 5, 6, or Resurrection? Resurrection. Resurrection, then 6, then 5. 4 and 5 I can watch. Those are the ones with Danielle Harris. I can watch those. 4 is actually not bad, but easily. Resurrection is the worst, then 6, and then 5. Juan says, are you off for your birthday at least? No, I am not. I will be, it's going to be mostly, podcast related stuff, but there's so much stuff to do. I'll be working. Ricky Edmond, will CM Punk return in AEW? No. Del Fuego, who might still be driving. Channel member for 12 months. Happy birthday. What are your favorite sitcoms of the 80s, 90s, and 2000s? And I'll give you the short answer because we should probably wrap this thing up. Although I am enjoying hanging out with you guys, but we should probably wrap this up. Oh my God, in the 80s, there were so many of them. I mean, Jesus. Seinfeld started technically in 89, didn't it? So how can I not say Seinfeld? Although I see Seinfeld more as a 90s sitcom. Married with Children started in 89, I believe. I guess it depends which decade, exactly what year it started, as far as which decade it would count in. But I mean, I watched all those shows, you know, whether it was Seinfeld, I actually did not watch until the show was almost over. So when it was in its last season, and everybody was talking about the big finale, then I first got into Seinfeld. And since then, I've seen every episode probably 25 times. But I mean, Married with Children, Full House, Family Matters, Perfect Strangers, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, Step by Step, Going Places, Just the Ten of Us, Three's Company, The Hogan Family, Family Ties, Night Court, you know, Empty Nest, fucking Golden Girls. I got into the Golden Girls years later when it was being rerun on television all the time. It's a fucking funny show. So, I mean, there's been so many of them. And now, I mean, there's none. I don't know if it's just the way they're shot, and a lot of them aren't in front of a studio audience anymore. Yeah, no, I don't watch any of the newer sitcoms. Not one of them. I couldn't even tell you what they are. Dinosaurs, yes. I watched Alf. I watched Dinosaurs. I'll be honest with you. Golden Girls is one of the top five. It's one of the top five shows for me. There are some funny-ass episodes of that show. And it's a show that I avoided like the plague when I was a kid. You know, my grandmother used to watch it, right? She was in the demographic, right? So I was like, I don't want to watch this. I want to watch the real Ghostbusters or Inspector Gadget or something. But I didn't really develop an appreciation for it until many years later. It really is a genuinely great show. Friends, I don't watch Friends. I've never watched Friends. I never understood the appeal of Friends. I've never watched Friends. Curb Your Enthusiasm is fantastic. 227, wow. Yes, 227. The Jeffersons. Mr. Belvedere. WKRP in Cincinnati. Cheers. Frasier, I never really got into. Big Bang Theory, I've never seen. All in the Family, yes, I watched All in the Family. That show would get thrown off the air after 3 weeks, by the way. Different Strokes was another one. I used to watch Different Strokes. Spin City, I never liked. I didn't watch Spin City. Malcolm in the Middle, now. Home Improvement, yes. Yes, Home Improvement, I liked Home Improvement. Doogie Howser, yes, with the blue screen. The Wonder Years. The Wonder Years had no replay value for me, though. When I used to watch it, I would watch it once, and then they would replay it on television years later, and I just could never get into it. It had no replay value for me. Winnie Cooper was very cute, though. That 70s Show, nah, never got into it. The Nanny, please, her fucking voice is like nails on a chalkboard. I'd rather cut my ears off. Rizzo with the $20 super chat. So Alvarez. Let's see here. So Alvarez is saying the TMZ story isn't telling the whole truth. And Steve Mulehausen from DAZN is saying that people are annoyed at Tony Khan for not sending Sammy home. What a mess. Good night, friends. Thanks for cheering me up. Well, thank you for the update, Rizzo. One thing we can agree on, it is an absolute mess. This whole thing is a mess. And obviously, more details will come out. I will talk. This may end up being won't be the lead story because Extreme Rules will be. But this will be one of the top stories on the podcast on Sunday. I'm sure I will have a lot more to say about this. Charles in Charge. Oh, my God. Yes, Charles in Charge. I used to watch that before he went batshit crazy. What was his friend's name on the show? Buddy? Yeah, I used to watch that show. Had a catchy theme song. Food Hive. Worst finale. Breaking Bad, 2.5 Men, or Seinfeld? Breaking Bad? Breaking Bad didn't have a terrible finale. What are you smoking? What are you having, some of those Irish car bomb cupcakes? Is that what you're preparing? Is that what you've been working on? I'll tolerate no Breaking Bad slander. 2.5 Men I didn't watch, and Seinfeld, I didn't like the Seinfeld finale. Black Myron says, favorite Breaking Bad montage. What do you mean by montage? I don't know. Breaking Bad montage? I don't know what you mean by that. Jamin John, The Shining is the best horror film ever. Liquid Sharingan says, ROH. I think he's just... Are these interconnected, or are you just randomly shouting things? Abhinav, does Tony fire Punk or EVPs now with the bad ticket sales? And looking back, he was right about the EVPs. Who are the best promos in AEW? John Moxley is obviously at or near the top of the list. I'd put him up there, MJF, right? Moxley, MJF are the... I mean, they got to be one and two, whatever order you want to put them in. Those are one and two right there. Punk, when he's around, is in the conversation as well, but he's not around right now. As far as does he fire? I don't think we'll see Punk in an AEW ring again. That's just my feeling. I think we will see the Elite. I don't know what's taking so long. Ricky Edmond, did CM Punk say that, or the report say that he wasn't returning? Does that include the Bucks and Omega, and why? Did CM Punk say what? CM Punk hasn't said a word. That's me saying that he will not be back in AEW. That's just my belief. I think we've seen the last of him in an AEW ring. I could be wrong. So the music montages from Breaking Bad. Okay, so there's one in particular that I always think of, and it's my favorite one. And it's, shit, the hell is it? You would know if I told you. It's the episode where Walt is at the home improvement store, and he sees the guys buying the supplies, and he clearly he knows that they're making meth, and the guy doesn't know what he's supposed to buy. And he goes out to the parking lot, and he sees the guys out there, and he basically turns into Heisenberg. That's like the minute he morphed into Heisenberg. And he tells them to get lost. And they play that TV, oh God, what is the name of the band that sings that song? Somebody help me out in the chat. TV by the Radio or TV on the Radio, DLZ. That fucking song is awesome. You pop into Spotify and type that in. It's like TV by the Radio or something, DLZ. When that song plays, it's so perfect for that scene. It's probably my favorite scene in the entire series. Manic Gay Magician with the $10 super chat. Happy birthday, Solo. The GOAT and the real Podfather. Halloween 4 should have been the last Halloween movie with the ending. I tell you what, that movie had a great ending. And I would have been down for her to be the new, kind of the new female Michael. It may not have been the greatest Halloween movie, but that ending was fucking badass. Happy 37th birthday, Solo. Boy, everybody, apparently I have many, many numbers from my birthday here. Everybody has guessed differently here tonight. Dr. Dakota, the fact that TMZ reported this first, that is an L on AEW. Deep Delicious Chicken with Flavor, Marsha Brady or Topanga? Topanga. And Baltimore Braves fan, what do you make of the Rob Fee hire? I am excited. I'm more excited that they created a position called the Director of Long-Term Creative. I think that's exactly the sort of position that they needed to have a long time ago. So I think it's a great move. I think it's actually a very, very smart move on their part. Well, listen, this has been a lot of fun. I am very happy I got to spend the first 90 minutes of my birthday with all of you here tonight. This has been very cool. You have quizzed me. We've talked a lot of wrestling. We've talked a lot of TV and movie trivia. I have enjoyed it. Just trying to check the chat one last time here. Happy 23. See, I like that. Yes, my 23rd birthday. I like that. I'm going to stick with that number. I'm going to stick with that. I'm just curious if the poll has changed. It was under 50% thumbs up before. And it's actually gone down. So it's 47.3% thumbs up for Dynamite tonight. That I believe, is the worst rating that this show has ever received. And that is less than what Raw got this week. It's amazing how times have changed. I'm going to be live with you again on Friday night for the post-SmackDown show. Again, it's the season premiere of SmackDown. Sheamus and Walter for the Intercontinental Championship. That is 24 hours before Extreme Rules. And then 24 hours later, live after Extreme Rules. Don't forget, we are going to be doing the Wrestle Rumble contest. You still have time to enter. WrestleRumble.com. You can win one of those three world titles you see on your screen. I want it to be one of you guys. It's only $1 to enter. You can enter as many times as you want. And I'm going to be able to pick the winners at random live here on YouTube on Saturday night. So definitely get in on that. And back with you for episode 777, talking more of this AEW drama, I'm sure, on Sunday. Sean O'Hare says, happy 15th birthday. I don't look a day over 15, do I? Be sure tomorrow, do me a favor, you know it would make me very happy, is if you will go ahead and check out that Hell in a Cell watch-along. Had a lot of fun doing that earlier. That's up on the channel right now. That'll be some viewing for you on a Thursday. And again, I will be back with you. We'll have another birthday stream. This was the pre-birthday. Now we get the birthday hangover on Friday. Come on back and we'll hang out all over again on Friday night. So be well, stay safe, and I'll see you guys then. Thank you again for all of the love here tonight. Very much appreciated. Have a good night.